still just talking like we were talking before Nazi babies.
Well, I actually just wanted to ask you a question. 2DS, great console or greatest console?
Console of the generation, absolutely, yeah.
Are they just going to keep regressing? Like, are they going to go to the 1DS and then, like, the root negative 1DS after that or something?
Actually, Jen had one of the best comments when I was telling her about this, and she's like, this is stupid. I'm just going to wait for the iPhone 1 now.
What is it with video games right now? You have the Xbox One, you have the 2DS. Just doesn't make no sense to me.
Yeah. I imagine it's just like stupid ass marketing bullshit where people in suits and rooms are like, hey, you know what? It's time to grab the new generation and have them start at the beginning.
Does somebody just yell Twitter? Twitter!
Yeah. Yep.
Vine. Can we put this in a Vine?
I don't know. How can we leverage this on Facebook?
I'm stupidly excited about the 2DS, partially just because it looks so dumb.
You take that wedge-shaped device and you stab it in your vampire heart.
It would be a great combination portable console doorstop.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So, I mean, I've been really thinking about this whole, 2DS thing, and it totally boggles my mind.
Right? Really, it seems pretty clear-cut to me. It's just $40 cheaper.
Yeah, $40 cheaper. Yep, I get it. But, I mean, it's like all the concessions that they made are kind of insulting when you think about it. For like a $130 device, right?
Yeah.
So you don't have 3D.
Yep.
Yep. Your form factor has gotten completely bizarre. And this is why I was asking you so many questions the other day, because I was like, how the fuck would this feel in my hands? And the way I went to simulate it was I grabbed my 3DS and just like folded it all the way open beyond the hey, this isn't safe click. And I was just holding it for a while and I'm like, okay, I can understand the wedge shape because you want to shave a little weight off the bottom. So
yeah,
it's not,
I think you have to hold it upside down to truly simulate it. I kind of want to grab my 3DS now and give it a shot. Because if you look at it, the wedge decreases in thickness towards the bottom, right?
Correct. Yeah, which I'm assuming is because of the weight. Like, go grab your 3DS and hold it like an idiot, and then you'll realize that this is not a good idea.
It is not a good idea. It's a great idea.
So, okay, let me give you another scenario. Like, do you have a tablet?
Yes.
Okay, go grab the tablet and hold it like you would hold, like you would assume you're going to play with this Trivial Pursuit thing. Mm-hmm. So I just, when I was trying to like simulate all these 2DS experiences, like I just feel like it's going to fall out of my hands. I don't know what to do with my pinkies. Wrapping my fingers around the top to get to the L and R buttons and then keeping my fingers on the screen without something to support it at the bottom just seems like the most uncomfortable thing ever.
Let me give you a really compelling argument as to why it's cool. It looks weird. That's it.
Yeah?
No, I understand where you're coming from. It always does seem insulting when Nintendo prices their hardware the way it does. Like, it's $130 for that, and like I could buy like a Nexus 7. This, like an old Nexus 7 for $130, and it does so much more.
This would be like if they released a DS, like when the DSi came out and it was like, hey, we have the DS Alpha, and it was like no bottom screen. And you're just like, what the fuck? It's still in a clamshell, but there's just no bottom screen on it. So I can play all my favorite advanced games with more buttons, I guess.
I mean, 3D is not, it's interesting that they cut it out. I'm surprised they were that bold to remove 3D altogether. I'm surprised they weren't worried about that hurting the image of the 3DS.
Well, I think part of it too is that marketing for babies, essentially, where now they don't have to worry about that, like, this may be unhealthy for your 3-month-old to be playing Mario that's hitting them in the eye sockets.
It's funny because they immediately after the announcement, I think in response to crazy neo-gaffers, they were like, yeah, this was always targeted at 5 and 6-year-olds, but in the video they have like douchey teenagers playing it.
I want to see, well, of course, you got to mark it up, but
yeah,
what I just want to see all the concessions that were made. And it's like, I think about it, and it's like, why this? Like, if you want something to put in the hands of a younger generation and or whatever, just to get your device out there more, like, why like this? Yeah. You know, why not reduce the memory card size with it,
yeah,
or, you know, take out some of the functionality of like the street passing or something, like the internal Wi-Fi, so you don't have like molesters, you know, texting kids. Like, if you're worried about it that way, like, why are you making the poorest choices for this?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really think they could have taken anything else out, because like StreetPass is integral to some of the games. Like, I don't know, like if you want to get like Denpaman, for example, you know Denpaman?
Yeah, but you know, what 5-year-old is going to be all about Denpaman and street passing?
Speaking of pedophiles, by the way, they certainly look like them. I don't know. I mean, I think that I think it was the only concession they really could make. I don't know why they can't make a profit on a device on the 3DS at $130.
It's still profitable. I don't know why $101 to make that thing.
If even, yeah. Was that an estimate?
Yeah, that was like admitted raw cost by Nintendo to make the 3DS.
Oh, nice. Well, I mean, you know, you have to build in marketing and stuff like that.
Right.
So it's not, I mean.
It also doesn't seem like it hits that sweet spot of like, okay, it's $130, you know. If you're doing it as like, oh, I'll get my, this is like, you know, the iPhone or the iPod basic that you get that's like 4 gigs and has, you know, it's like the oldest OS and barely works. But, you know, it's like, if you're doing this to try and capture people into the Nintendo marketplace, why like this?
Yeah, well, I think the 129 is they Nintendo, I mean, look at the games they make. They're so nostalgic. The DS Lite was 129. And that was like the best selling thing of the ever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I know it wasn't their best ever selling console, but it was so successful. So they're trying to get a little bit more of that lightning in a bottle.
But the DS Lite was an improvement on the already existing design. Like, it was empirically better than what was there before.
I don't know. I think it's so dopey that it's kind of cool.
Like, there's some charm to it. Like, it's like the puppy that with one eye or like three legs. You're like, oh, look at you! You're still making it.
I have this thing where I really like when my consoles and devices look as like inappropriately childish and toyish as possible.
I totally get you. Yeah.
So I think the utter Fisher Price-ness of it kind of appeals to me on some weird kind of like bizarro level. Like, it's like, it's almost like it's so bad it's looped back around to being good again.
I agree. Like, I like how stupid this form factor is, but I don't think that is gonna sell to kids. Like, if you're going to young people that want to buy $130 shit DS, like, That demographic is like, I want the cool thing, not I want the dorky thing.
That's true, but I mean, they're probably all going to be like, give me an iPad. I guess, well, it's probably between like an iPod Touch and a 3DS, or like an iPhone and a 3DS.
Yeah, but the tablet market is so crazy right now, and with, you know, everything else out there, it's like, yeah, well, just get them the fucking, you know, Nexus 7, and that's $100.
Yeah, well,
yeah, read books on that shit too.
Yeah, we could pretend that's educational.
Yeah, we can play that off at least. This is just some weird, like, you know, you think about it, you go to the stores like, you know, Walmart, and you're going there and you're like, oh, I want to do some Christmas shopping. Okay, we'll get the slightly cheaper, more retarded thing. Okay, so here's an exactly prime example. Like, I worked with a guy who had kids, and he would actually take his kids' 3DS and be playing Mario, like, in between shifts and when they'd be at school and stuff, more so than
That's
the
hilarious.
Kids would be playing it. But I can't see, and his kids were, like, you know, 3-4 years old, and he's like, yeah, they just love to fuck around on it and, like, get puzzle pieces or whatever when I tell them, like, I just throw them on a level and they run around like crazy. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. Like, is like, you know, football dad going to be going out and getting this and be like, oh man, now I can play Mario and look like a fucking idiot?
I don't know. I think that $40, I think they're getting close to a really compelling price. I think a lot of, I think if they had hit 99,
yes,
it would have been a different story. And I agree. I think they will. I think they'll probably aggressively try to lower the price on this thing. And if it doesn't fly out of the gates, then they're definitely going to cut the price.
Right. This reminds me very much of like the Nintendo Wii that didn't have Wi-Fi on it, or internet connection.
That was a more glaring omission, though, because like you can't like cutting out the Wi-Fi means you can't get certain games.
Sure.
Like you have no access to the store. Like that's what I was thinking. Like, what else could they cut other than the 3D without significantly compromising the functionality of the system? Of course, that kind of begs the question, like, why did you need the 3D in the first place?
Sure. I mean, internet is so ingrained in every device now at this point. You know, I see what you're saying, but I also think that Nintendo, with their track record of all that stuff and their worry about child safety and all those things and all the horror stories of, like, you know, someone's dog ordering a million copies of Feeding Frenzy on Xbox by accident and spending like a grand. It's like, why not remove the Wi-Fi and just say, like, hey, now it's just basically a toy.
I think if Satoru Iwata had his way, he would have snatched that Wi-Fi away. The evil Wi-Fi devil. I don't know. I think that the Wii Mini, like, I remember when the Wii Mini came out. I don't remember how much it undercut. Was it like a $40 price decrease or was it a $50?
I thought it hit $99, wasn't it?
I think so. I just remember looking at the Wii Mini and thinking to myself, wow, that's like a really terrible value proposition. Like, removing the Wi-Fi significantly compromises the functionality of the system. I would never want that. And I'm a person who like really fetishizes new hardware.
Oh, totally. But this isn't new. This is riding off the heat of the zeitgeist. Like, this is, hey, people are talking about this. You should get this too. Like, it's a Wii. Everybody has one. Now get this one in your house. Like, you don't have one? Okay. And I actually thought about it. I was like, you know, I don't buy virtual console games because I play them on old systems. Like, if anything, the Wii, that Wii spoke to me. I'm like, hey, it's cheap. I can play Wii games on it that I want to play. I'm not going to be, you know, downloading shit or going on channels or whatever.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. But I feel like this is just like, who is this targeting?
I don't know. Again, for me, it was the other way around. The Wii Mini just didn't speak to me at all. I was really disappointed by what they did with it. Whereas with the 2DS, I mean, I think most people are going to think it looks hideous because it kind of does. But I mean, $40 is $40. That's not bad.
I feel okay. Here's a good analogy. I feel like the Nintendo 3DS is like when you buy a really big Lego set,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, you know, the Star Destroyer or something just massive, you know, it's like the Empire State Building or just a humongous amount of pieces. And then you build it, and then afterwards you have like 15 pieces left over that you're like, fuck, like, where did these go? I guess I don't need them. And then you build like a bird out of it.
Mm-hmm.
This is that bird is the 2DS where they're like, we have all this shit left over. I guess we can put it in something.
Some people were wondering if they used, because you know it's just a single LCD under there now.
Yeah, a single touchscreen.
Yeah, I read that thing by Jeremy Parrish. I'm not, because the thing about touchscreens is that usually you use two separate layers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure he was right about it being a touchscreen.
Well, it's probably like the same material, just because they can get the material cheaper.
Probably,
but
yes.
I'm sure that there's other factors built into it, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it is a touchscreen. Who knows? But some people were speculating. They're like, well, did they just use old gamepad screens?
Yeah.
I mean, it's certainly possible. I'd be very clever if they did.
Yeah.
But I think something that I read that I thought was pretty interesting is the lack of a hinge, even though it makes it look really ugly, will actually be good for kids because, like, kids break DSs all the time because of the freaking hinge. Uh-huh. So, like, without a hinge, unless the kid, like, gets, like, Hulk smash or something and, you know, breaks the thing in half,
uh-huh.
they're not going to be able to break the device.
Yeah, that's true. You won't break the device, but you'll render it completely unusable when you crack the screen, like any iPod owner or any smartphone owner has ever witnessed.
Yeah, but I mean, it's more of an impulse buy at $129. I mean, I guess it's you are right that the sort of race to the bottom in the tablet market is really encroaching on portables, but I think they did this partially in response to an anticipated Vita price cut.
Possibly.
Because now they can be like, okay, we got the 130 model to your 200. And partially, probably because they're feeling pressure from tablets and the like.
Well, here is the solution. I see it as this will totally hit that demographic if they're like, you know what? Hey, fucking Angry Birds, built in, packed in, day one, don't have to download anything. Every model ships with goddamn Angry Birds. Because
day one digital.
That's what all, you know, working in restaurant industry stuff, you see people at their tables with their young kids and they like give them the iPad or the phone or something, and while they're eating, you know, the kid's watching like a little cartoon or tapping around on the screen, you know, just making the birds move or whatnot, you know, not really interacting with the game. They're not playing it like they're supposed to play it, but it's entertaining them. But if you give them this device, it's a lot more complicated, so it's probably not fulfilling that. Or it's not going to hit that audience that's like, so will babies actually be playing this? Because no, probably not, because you can't watch, you know, the Bizarre World of Richard Scarry on it or whatever.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. And the thing is, like, they're so endangered by all these free apps. Like, I mean, if you're a parent and, like, you can grab, like, 20 games for no money at all, and the kid's not going to care about the quality. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, if shit is moving around on the screen and they can touch it and it does things,
right?
I mean, that might entertain a kid just as much as a DS will or a 3DS.
Sure. I mean, we downloaded some cat games for the iPad, and I mean, Billy was into that. She's touching fish and whatever. But
I think she's a pretty good representative of the average child.
We tried to get her to play Call of Duty, and no such luck.
She just kept yelling racial epithets over Xbox Live.
Actually, she kept staring up into the sky and couldn't run straight.
Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, they're in immense danger from tablets and smartphones, and it's not a long-term answer. That's for sure.
It's a weird answer.
I love it. It's so stupidly Nintendo.
Right. I mean, I totally feel you. Like, there is that part of me that's like, I want this because it cannot survive.
It's going to be worth like $1,000
right.
in 20 years when no one bought one.
It's the PSP Go of of this year.
But unlike the PSP Go, like, it removed an essential feature. Like, without the UMD drive, there are just games you can't play. At least with your 3DS or your 2DS, rather, you can play everything that comes out.
Right.
I guess.
I mean, this is all still assuming that the only thing that has been removed is that function.
I'm pretty sure that's it. I mean, also a mono speaker. That's the other thing.
Okay.
So, I was going to say, I would totally... Here's the thing. So, I'm such a, you know... I'm such a sucker for Nintendo stuff that I would totally buy this, except for the fact that Nintendo still does not have unified accounts.
Yeah.
Yep. Which is just sad.
You're going to system transfer your XL stuff over to your...
No, I won't do that. I'm not going to give up the big boy.
I would love it if they were just like, nope, not compatible. You can't go 3-2. Can't go 3-2.
You
step down. Can't
three.
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You get a two. You can move up to a three. Can't go 3-2.
That's ridiculous. You need to buy the 1DS transfer tool. Just subtract from the 3DS.
The 1DS subtraction tool would just be a bullet to the brain. what are you doing?
No, you try to transfer it over, and then it explodes out of the screen because it's searching for the third dimension, which isn't available. So it just blows out your top screen. Yeah, I wish you could have your games across both systems, because I would totally buy that just to fuck around with.
Boy, that would be great.
Yeah, but no. Nintendo.
Speaking of greatness, Jeff Brewer. This is Boss Bro episode 121. I'm Griffin Hoffman.
121? Wow, okay.
121.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah. It's palindromic.
One, two. Not. Yeah. Well, yeah.
The numbers are.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of greatness. Yeah, whatever. So, a lot of stuff happened. We took a week off. We're back now. Gamescom is over. Like we've been talking about for the last 20 minutes, Nintendo is doing all sorts of crazy shit. And so is everybody else.
Yes. Lots of insanity.
So alongside that 2D Nintendo 2DS for dumb babies, they made some other announcements.
Yes, they cut the price of the Wii U. Or, yes. Well, sort of. Kinda. Yeah.
They leveled the Wii U playing field, making one of their SKUs completely worthless.
Yep. I would say they didn't so much cut the price as perform a value add.
Yeah.
Because like they didn't get rid of. They kept the price of the basic at $299, mm-hmm. and then they cut the price of the deluxe to $299. So you could either buy the bad one or the good one for the same price.
Is this I don't want to jump the gun here, but like at this point, is everybody just parroting Sony? Like, so nobody has original ideas anymore except for Adam Boys. And Shuhei Yoshida.
The Super Slim with the price increase?
No, I'm talking about the PlayStation Vita price drop across the board to $199.
Oh yeah, is it across the board? Are they phasing out the 3G model?
All models will be $199.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yep.
Are you going to get that 3G model with the 8 GB memory card that I linked you to?
I don't know. I have to look at my account and expenses and stuff like that. But you know,
if you're not yet convinced, I sent you an email.
I know
about a game that should convince you.
There is no better time than now to become a Vita owner, except maybe in 2 months during Black Friday.
There is a game coming out for the Vita which I just want to talk about briefly. I sent it to you, Griffin. Where you are a hero who can kiss people to give them special powers, and because it's a Japanese game. Your two sisters, your younger and your older sisters, are both heroines whom you have to kiss to activate their powers.
Of course.
Because incest.
Yeah. Right?
I think this is officially one-upped boob touching on the 3DS.
Do you rear touch them while you kiss them? Can you caress the back screen?
Yeah, it's to activate their overdrive limit.
Oh, God.
To achieve full release.
Oh, yeah, Jesus.
You have to rear touch.
Yes. I mean, yes. Now is the time.
Yeah.
I need to get that not 3G model so they can't track me while I'm doing this. I don't want to register.
Your near location will be transmitted.
That's right. I want to stay on the blacklist.
Griff earned the Wincest trophy.
Oh.
at 3:33 p.m.
Oh. That's just when school gets out.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah. So I don't know why they didn't. Jumping back to the Wii U for a second,
yeah,
why didn't they just cut the basic model to 250 just to clear out inventory?
I think because they want to just unify it. So you go to the store on Black Friday or whenever you're doing your Christmas shopping, and you're like, I'll take that Wii U thing, and then you get whatever they have, and you're not like, is this the good one or is this the bad one? You're just like, oh, this is the white one or the black one.
I think they're just counting on some hapless consumer just going in there and be like, I want basic. They're only 300, right? And the guy's like, yeah, they're only 300.
Yeah. I mean, there's also probably some preying on, like, you know, people like me who didn't buy a Wii U. And I was like, when it was first announced, I was like, hey, you know, if I were to get one, I'd want that top end model with all those special features and all those, you know, incentives and fucking stand or whatever. You know, I want that. And now they've dropped it the same price. I'm like, well, that's looking a little more tempting. You know, I do like Nintendo. And, you know, they're kind of going for that, like, person who's been on the fence about the Nintendo products. And you know, a savvy video game player who hasn't pulled the trigger on their Wii U purchasing decision yet.
You know,
they're rewarding the top tier people.
I don't get the parity with the basic pricing. Like, that seems like it's only designed to prey on idiots who don't understand that there is another model out there.
Wait. Are you telling me that in part of the Wii U's marketing, there is preying on people who don't have awareness of the brand?
I thought that was their whole problem, that nobody understands the brand.
You're telling me that for some reason this would create some confusion with the system that is named almost identically to the previous system and just looks like a peripheral add-on?
Have you seen that ABC News clip that's been making the rounds?
Uh-uh.
It's this woman, she's talking about the 2DS, and she's like, Nintendo today announced the 2Ds, which will play all 3Ds games. And then she's like, in other news, the Wii is getting a price cut.
The Wii U.
No, it was just the Wii.
The Wii.
So I don't know why
hard hitting journalism.
Nobody's confused about this stuff at all.
No, I mean, you can see the glaring flaw right there in that report, and there's not enough puns. She was obviously an amateur.
Yes, she wasn't a true journalist.
Right.
There was no penis jokes about being.
It wasn't like, what are we to do?
Oh. You gotta go for the urination jokes. I really don't think they're played out yet.
No, not at all. Nintendo, yeah, so, pissing you off with the Wii? You?
Nintendo just took a Wii on you if you bought a $350 console.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I don't know why they didn't cut the basic model. They're just crazy motherfuckers.
Yeah, it sounds like it. But, you know, they also did release, well, they kind of released their, or they published their release schedule for games for the rest of the year, which is,
yes,
you know, good. Glad. It's about time.
Yeah, we're
Iwata
finishing up that launch
window. Fucking bowing and all his, apology bowing and all his Nintendo Directs now. Yeah. Please be patient.
Yeah, I would, do you like the look of that Wind Waker bundle?
No, not, I mean, I don't give a shit. But yeah, it looks pretty.
10-year-old game.
Yeah.
10-year-old game for $50.
Sure. I mean, I've got a GameCube and I could buy Wind Waker.
I wonder if it's cheaper.
Yeah.
That is an interesting thing to
it's
explore.
Pure. More pure.
It's more pure.
It's, yeah.
I have bizarre rules about purity. Like, I was really upset about the Chrono Trigger DS remake.
Oh, really?
Yes, because there is a slight degradation of sound quality, which I instantly noticed. And in a moment, in a dark moment, went on GameFAQs to complain about. And nobody else noticed it. And I was like, you guys, listen to both of them through headphones and you will notice immediately. And then I realized what I'd done.
Oh, yeah.
And then I just cried for a long time.
It's all you can do in that situation.
I also was weird. Like, I didn't like that they'd changed the menus. I was weirdly emotional about the whole thing.
Oh, that's understandable. You know, that is a deeply connected game for a lot of people who, you know,
yeah,
you don't want to mess with that shit, man.
No, but I feel like I was being part of the problem there. Like, if that game can get a broader audience, that's a good thing.
I mean, at least it wasn't the Final Fantasy Anthology or Chronicle or whatever the hell.
Yeah, or like the GBA version of Final Fantasy IV, which had horrible glitches that would allow you to act like two and three times in a row. I mean, it's actually
working
not a horrible glitch because you
intended.
Could trivialize the game. But yeah, Square Enix is not exactly known for their quality ports.
Actually, the first time I beat Chrono Trigger was last year on the DS version. So,
oh, for real?
Yep. Yep.
Oh wow.
I don't think I've actually ever played it on an SNES.
Huh.
Yep.
What'd you think?
I loved it. Loved
yeah,
it. Absolutely loved it. And I didn't play the secret last boss that was added, but I watched it afterwards when I finished the game. And I was like, oh, that's super cool that they did that.
Yeah, the secret last boss is cool. Unfortunately, I read about it online. All the shit leading up to him is really banal and stupid. Like,
yeah,
you go through a randomly generated dungeon.
Yep.
That just recycles environments. It sounds super boring.
Yeah.
You have to do it like 8 times.
Yeah, it's essentially like boss rush mode where you're like, oh, here, have fun doing this shit that you don't like doing.
Yeah, just what happened to that company?
Oh, we know.
I don't understand.
You know what happened.
Horrible things.
That's right.
Yeah. But that is, yeah. So I'm weirdly anal about my ports, but I'm pretty excited about Wind Waker HD. It looks really nice.
You're right. I'm all about anal ports. Any
like
day
plug,
of the week.
Do you like to plug the port?
I'm a plug and play kind of guy.
This has been Griff's Sex Tips.
1-800 get wood.
And remember, if you're looking for Griff's Sex Tips, it's just the tip.
That's you don't need the whole thing, just the tip.
No, nothing more, just the tip.
Yep.
Yeah, so Wind Waker, that's coming out. What else is happening?
Mario
3D.
The other Zelda game that you should care about, the A Link to the World's Past.
I keep going back and forth. I'm back to being not so excited for that game.
I am ready to read reviews about that game. When I saw the box art actually that was shown, and I was like, yep, I am ready to not buy this day one and see what other people think.
I feel like I can never trust a Zelda review because I played Both Twilight Princess and Skyward Sword had unbelievably good reviews, and I thought they were both lacking. I beat Twilight Princess, and I was very unimpressed. And I got, like, probably, like, halfway through Skyward Sword, and I was just so bored.
Yeah. Well, I'm interested in hearing what the people who I like to listen to have to say about this, because a lot of these people, a lot of people I respect in the games journalism thing, like, this is, you know, Link to the Past, their favorite. And you're like, okay, obviously you guys hate all Zeldas now, but this is the best one. So what do you, what do you feel about it?
I think that, I don't know. I don't think it's wise for them to do, like, hey, it's Link to the Past 2. Like, I'm very, when they said that, I was immediately skeptical. I don't know.
Oh,
about
yeah,
you,
of course.
But anytime you, like, try to go back and cash in on past fame like that, or prey on nostalgia, I mean, that's Nintendo's whole thing. But, like, anytime you go back and you try to recapture that old whatever, I'm just like, I'd rather you move on and do something new. So
no,
I'm skeptical.
Put a Cloud costume in every video game.
Some new Lightning Returns news on one of my websites that I'm just looking at the pictures and I don't understand.
Lightning returns her clothing because they don't fit anymore. Is that the news?
Deliver the medicine. Here, I'm looking at a screen. If you carry the medicine on your person for more than 45 minutes, it will evaporate and disappear. Deliver to Taleb and Polte in under 45 minutes.
Are you reading the Final Fantasy 14 quest log?
No, this is 13.
Oh, God.
Well, 13. 3 Revengeance. 13 yeah. Rising Revengeance.
It's just 13. There, yeah. X1111.
It's just, I can't understand. She can freeze time during missions using the Chronostasis ability.
Wonderful. That sounds wonderful. Tell me more.
The Chronostasis ability consumes energy points, EP, which are used to activate healing spells or her light speed skill during... Oh, I get it. Light speed.
I don't get it. Break it down. Back it up.
So her nickname is Light, and she's really fast.
Okay.
So she's got a lot of speed. So it's a light speed?
You lost me.
It's capitalized.
Oh!
That's how you know it's
fun. Oh! Like photons.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because light moves fast.
Gotcha.
You got it. You got the whole thing.
Yeah. Got it. Like she cooks up a bunch of pills in a Winnebago.
I hope it has a cooking mini game in it.
Oh God, every game needs a cooking mini game.
I know. After Dragon's Crown, which I don't think we've even talked about.
No. Suikoden 2, best RPG ever.
I haven't played it yet. I keep waiting for it to come out.
You were a fool, it won't happen. It will never happen.
No, they talked about it. They were like, hey guys. Suikoden 2 might come out sometime.
This is I've always been pissed about this, but Suikoden 1 and 2 were brought to the PSP in Japan. And I was like, this is the way to play that game. You can Suikoden is a game that was before its time where you can play it in small chunks and have the same experience as if you were playing it like you would like a regular JS RPG of just sitting forever and doing it forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can step away from that game and get back into it and not miss a beat.
Yeah, and honestly, I just want it. I want it on my Vita. Give it to me on my Vita now.
Yep. Hey, you know, that game's so good. It's so good. You can play it on your PS3.
How do I? Oh, if I get the...
With the disc.
Disc for, like $200.
I'll give you a copy.
Oh, my God.
No, I won't.
Don't do it. It might get destroyed in the mail.
I would give it to you if I could hand it to you, but yeah, I'm terrified of the mail. And I got it. Yeah. I got that game for like $80, so I'm feeling pretty good about it. Yep.
It's $699.99 new. What just happened?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a good game.
God, my brain.
It's a really good game. It has an Iron Chef mini game.
I heard they were able to source some copies at GameStop for the low price. Of $575.
Hot dog! Give me two! I'll pre-order it right now.
Power to the players. So what about Suikoden Tyrkreus? I heard that's good.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about shitty DS games, or handheld games.
You can play that on your 2DS. Oh, man. Yeah, so did Nintendo announce anything else, or is that all they did?
Right? Like, so they did some things. They still left some things in the air, like Sonic at the Olympics is coming out next year, I think, and so is that Wii Fit game that we can't really get out the door because I don't fucking know, whatever. But there was
weight loss minigames are hard to develop.
HD. you had no idea how difficult it is to model those.
I just imagine them struggling with HD. It's just Miyamoto like kneeling on the ground, shaking his fist at the sky, and just screaming like, "I don't understand the pixels."
I just imagine like Reggie is there, and they're like trying to make the Wii balance board look exactly like it is in real life, and they're like, "No, the spacing on these lines are wrong. Fuck it!" And they just like light it on fire.
I just imagine his head getting ever redder and slightly larger and just increasing like maybe a millimeter in size every day.
Oh, so he's like that character in Dive Kick.
Yes, he's like Jafele.
Yeah.
to get over to some different stuff right there.
For sure. So it has been, you know, a kind of a crazy week. It's always crazy in video games when stuff's happening. So
yes.
I don't know. Do you want to talk about Gamescom first, or do you want, since we're still doing news, should we keep on that boat?
Sure, why not? We can talk about Gamescom. You got to tell me about Gamescom, because I watched all of Sony, but I missed all of Microsoft. So you got to fill me in.
All right, let me tell about Microsoft. They weren't there.
But wasn't Phil Spencer talking about things?
He did a keynote, okay. and I think it was more of, it was like a secret press conference. I actually didn't watch any of it. I only watched the Sony press conference.
Okay,
but you know, I followed some live blogs as it was happening, and I just took some notes, essentially, which I think are fascinating decisions that they made. It was just so overshadowed by everything else that happened.
Yeah. Yeah, the packing in FIFA 14, I mean,
oh my God,
that's pretty interesting.
That is brilliant.
Yeah.
You want to talk about taking a loss, man.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, I don't know what their partnership is with EA. It's interesting that they're packing in a third-party title. Because they definitely are going to lose a lot more than if they packed in a first-party title. But, I mean, it's never going to be as big a loss than just selling the hardware at a lower rate. I mean, you're always going to do better when you pack shit in.
Yeah.
When you value add.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I will tell you, FIFA is fucking hot. Like, as a person who plays games, you may not know that, but people play games fucking love FIFA.
Yeah, FIFA is people in the U.S. love FIFA.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't like soccer.
That's
over
right.
Here.
Like Hunter got hardcore into FIFA, and he hates soccer. Like he just loved playing the game. And the worst part was it's like that fantasy team shit where you buy packs of cards, and your players expire after they play so many games. So you just constantly have to be buying new cards. Like
legit money, real money.
Yes.
Are you fucking kidding me? You have to buy new players?
It is insidious, yeah. Like, you get a booster pack, like your starter pack. But imagine if you're playing, like, Magic or Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh! Or something, and, like, you use your Blue Eyes White Dragon 5 times, and then it's gone. And you're like,
It's like fucking Final Fantasy Legend. Like, you have your weapons, and you swing them 50 times, and then they go away, except you have to pay real money to buy a new one.
Yeah, well, I mean, yes, you can also but you don't. It's also like you can sell your own cards to get the fake currency to buy like re-up contract cards with your players.
This is some weird shit. Right? I had no idea that this was a part of the game.
There's
a secondary like FIFA bucks currency that you can use to buy shit, and you can pay. It's like fucking like a mobile game.
No, it's essentially like Steam in microcosm, where it's like, you know,
except
you have the auction house.
Yeah, go ahead.
Or you have this auction house. Like, you get your things. Like you know, let's say you went on a dungeon crawl and you killed a bunch of things and you got, like, a bow. And you're like, oh, I'm a guy that only shoots fireballs. I don't need a bow. And you sell the bow off, and now you have, like, $5.13 in your account. Like, you can use that to go buy – use that currency to go buy, like, new magic boots or something. But – let's say you never had, you're like, fuck the auction house. I don't care. I've got more money than I have time. And you're like, I'm going to put $30 into my account so I can just buy the next thing that comes up that's awesome on the auction. Like, that's essentially what FIFA is. Like, you can play it and you can do the daily challenges. You can kind of like really dig in and grind and like work a team from the bottom up. Or it's like, hey, do you want some good players so you can actually be competitive online and not suck? Because you know, it really does come down to stats, well, you're going to have to spend some real money.
That is so... See, at least with Steam cards, like, they don't matter at all. Like, I'm gonna sell every single Steam card I have, get my, you know, dollar or whatever, because I just could care less.
26 cents.
And you know what? I won't have emoticons, but I'll have actual money that I can use to buy more games.
Yeah.
Whereas in the case of this, it's like you're telling me you need this to be successful at the higher tiers.
You definitely do need it to be successful at the higher tiers. You don't need it to participate.
Ugh. It's so slimy, but whatever. I mean, I don't want to spend the whole time talking about their silly monetization schemes. But yeah, I mean, but you are definitely right that FIFA 14 is a big deal,
right.
And it definitely will give them a ghost of a chance in the EU.
Europe.
But the funny thing is, they're only going to be in like 6 markets in the EU at launch.
Right. Only 5 countries have been confirmed to have, or 5 regions, or maybe it was countries, will be confirmed to have.
Voice chat.
Connect or, voice chat.
Or yeah. Or not voice chat, but
voice recognition.
Voice commands. Yeah, which is hilarious.
Yep. The number just keeps dwindling.
I know. First it was 8 markets at launch. Now we have 5 of them. It's like only 2 of them can, I don't know, turn the power on or something.
Right.
Incredibly basic.
This is integral to the Xbox One experience.
And you'll get it 1 month after release.
Entertainment. Television. Your life. The center of your living room.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. I don't know why everything keeps slipping. And it's definitely, I mean, like, something that seems so strong, it really hurts them to not have, like, the full suite of EU markets at launch. I don't know what they were doing there. I mean, it's such a great idea to reclaim some value for their console.
Right.
What kind of losses, I'm wondering, do you think they're taking with this?
Fuck.
Like, do you think they have some kind of sweet deal with EA?
Oh, I'm sure this is just them being like, damage control. We forgot about Europe.
Still haven't remembered Japan yet.
Yeah. Who? What?
I mean, it's kind of, if you're looking at it from a purely financial perspective, I mean, Japan buys games, but they're not a huge market.
Right. Oh, you mean that Pac-Man country. Eh, whatever.
If you forget for a moment that they're like where games began.
Right.
But yeah. Yeah, so they had that. It says here launch lineup without dates. Tell me more.
I forgot. So both companies kind of like touted their, hey, this is what's available at launch. But even in Sony's case, it was like, this is what's available at launch, but we're not going to actually put dates with them, so it could be launch window for all we know.
We both know that both consoles are just going to be dead when they come out. Like, there's not going to be, you know, you're going to have your launch games and then you wait 3 months.
It's bizarre how many third-party titles are attached to these like launch lineups, which it just
it's
weird.
Interesting. I don't remember so many big games coming to the PS3 or the Xbox 360 out of the gate.
Mm-mm.
I think it's just the cross-generation thing. I think people have been winding up for this for a really long time.
Yep. You're
so that's
right.
That's why all this stuff is coming out on the old and the new generation. I can't imagine how much that costs.
Yeah.
Developing for... I mean, there was some Activision interview that I glanced at where someone was talking about... Because they're developing for like 8 different platforms.
Sure.
It's like, I can't imagine how much money they're throwing at it, but...
Yeah, especially with like PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4 compatibility, where you're like, these things can, according to, you know, professionals, these things have nothing to do with each other. Like, totally different architecture. You're basically making 2 totally different games.
Yeah. I mean, they must have some amazing middleware, I guess, is the bottom line.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, what was I going to say about all that? It'll be interesting to see, like, a lot of people, like, I've always been thinking, like, oh, these consoles are going to do really poorly because of all this cross-generational stuff. No one's going to want to upgrade. But maybe I'm looking at it the wrong way. Maybe the cross-generational stuff will make, like, the launch of the new consoles really smooth.
I think you're right in terms of, like, yeah, mass media where actually, you're absolutely right. Like, I've had coworkers and stuff, like, tell me, they're like, oh man, I just pre-ordered Assassin's Creed Black Flag for the PlayStation 3. And then I just talked to, you know, that my friend recently, and he was like, no, I canceled my pre-order and I switched it to the PlayStation 4.
And if even if you don't cancel, you can do their, I mean, I would never do this personally, but you can do their like $10 upgrade program, which right. both companies are offering.
Right.
Which I thought was interesting. Or I guess I'm not sure if Microsoft is offering it officially, but certainly Amazon is putting on a promotion.
Oh, sure.
So there's definitely a lot of encouragement to sort of
well, you know,
between them for a while and kind of make a smooth transition.
Yeah, it's something that Sony said, so you can probably imagine that everybody else is going to follow suit.
It used to be Nintendo that produced that kind of outcome.
Right. Hey, you know what's cool? Motion controls. Everybody, let's get motion controls.
I remember, I'm trying to pin down exactly what it was, but Nintendo was doing shit, and it was like Nintendo wasn't at the top of their game anymore, and people were still copying them. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was, this moment when I was like, why are people still copying Nintendo? Oh, it was the 3D, I think.
What?
I think it was the 3D when Nintendo announced the 3DS. Is that when Sony did their 3D display?
I don't think I am following.
It was like people were still following Nintendo even when they were like not at the top. Like even when they were like not really on their game anymore, people were still copying all of their tricks.
Yeah, I mean that you're yeah. I don't remember it specifically, but I think it may have not just been Nintendo at that time. I think it was 3D was a thing where they're like, hey, you know what's awesome right now? Wearing glasses while you watch TV over your glasses while you're watching TV. And you're like, okay. And then Nintendo did it right where they're like, yeah. You don't have to wear glasses. You can just play this fucking thing in 3D. Here, enjoy. But then, you know, Sony is like, yeah. Get our TV that you could put glasses on. You and your friend can sit side by side and see different shit.
I'm remembering now what it was, by the way. It's simply just the Wii U. It's when the Wii U was announced, everyone was like, we have second screens.
That's right, yeah.
And response to the Wii U was like totally tepid. I'm just amazed that they were copying Nintendo still. But anyway.
I think the second screen did happen before the Wii U with like smart glass and all that stuff.
I suppose that's true.
Are you staring at your iPhone already?
Yeah. I suppose you could say that Microsoft actually led on that one. But anyway, yeah. So launch lineup, no dates. $10 trade up program.
Maybe
they announced Fable Legends. Was there a teaser or was there in game footage or just
I think it was just your standard like Fable trailer of like really really beautiful looking dudes running and ladies running around and like killing shit in like your it's kind of like very reminiscent of like a Warcraft intro movie where it's like check out all these classes doing all these cool things that you'll never do because games don't work like that.
I can't stand that. Can that just go away like now?
No, never. But what they did like their end little zinger was like, and you can play as the bad guy. So, like, you know, you're playing the horde mode where you're like, let's the four of us, the you know, the healer, the damage absorber and the damage dealer are all like hanging out together. I'll walk into a bar and then one says, hey, I want to fight everybody. And so they do. And then somebody else is playing as like the person throwing the waves at them. Like, so I'm going to put two goblins over here and I'm going to, so it's here. There you go. Second screen experience. You can be the orchestrator of it.
All I heard from that is Fable has multiplayer now.
Yeah. Yeah.
As if every other game wasn't enough.
Right. Well, yeah. Fable has had multiplayer issues for quite some time.
They've had multiplayer in previous titles? What are you saying?
Yeah.
Really?
There was supposed to be, yep.
So they've been trying to shoehorn it in for a long time?
Fables 2 specifically, like you're supposed to be able to jump into your friend's game as a mercenary, but it was totally fucked up and broken. Like you couldn't move off the screen. You couldn't. There was no carryover from going from one person's world to the other world. Like there was no benefit to doing it, and it was clunky and didn't function one bit.
I'm not being fair by saying that Fable has given into the whole multiplayer craze because been doing it for a while.
They've been doing it. Well, they've been trying to do it, but they've never been able to pull it off.
Oh, that's a bummer.
So now they've just made Diablo Fables. With a game master.
I feel like this is the thing, like, okay, Peter Molyneux is gone. He's not doing it anymore.
Yep.
So can you just let it go? Just make a new game. Call it something else. How powerful is the Fable name at this point?
Yeah. Well, I think it is still pretty powerful because I think that there is that like rose-tinted nostalgia of, like, I remember playing Fable on my Xbox.
When there was nothing else to play?
Yeah, it's like, Halo. I liked RPGs when I was younger, and then I got an Xbox because, I don't know, and this game was fun.
Because I don't know.
Right. So I got played Fusion Frenzy and really got into Halo, and then, hey, Fables was great, right?
Yeah.
And then that's kind of just who that, you know, it's like, hey, do you want an RPG on your system? Okay, here you go.
Is it made by the same guys? No. Does it have the same name? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Good enough. Package it. Kick it out the door. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly not unique to Fable. Yeah. You got your Halos and your, you know, every studio does it.
Yeah.
Anyway, though, so Fable Legends, they talked about Killer Instinct's pricing scheme.
Oh, God, yeah. So good.
So is it 20 for the full game? Help me understand.
Did I make notes here? I can't.
You made notes. You said $20 God. Full roster pack. What was the $40 pack for Boneheads?
Oh, yeah, for dumb people. for dumb adult babies.
The ones who just bought their 2DSs and are looking for some more money to blow.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. So Killer Instinct, so it's free to play, right?
Okay. You get one guy.
No word if you can choose that one dude or if it's just going to be a world of Jagos, which is, you know, what's suspected.
It'd be awesome if you could choose your dude, but I'm sure that won't be allowed.
Right. They haven't even announced. Okay, so I'm getting ahead of myself here. So, you know, you get your free character. You can play online or whatever. You can play the game, quote unquote, full game. But if you want to buy additional characters, it's $5 per character.
Uh-huh.
Or you can pay $20 and you get all six characters.
So what's the $40 tier?
The $40 is you get all the characters that have, you get those six characters and all their garbage.
You actually just get a statue of Alduin from Skyrim somehow, just mailed to your door.
The old one, yeah. Somebody had it laying around the office. They're like, yeah, just fucking postmark it, send it out.
we got $20 from this idiot. Just give it to him.
No, it's you get like costume packs and I don't know. Like it would make sense if it was like, hey, you get you get all the characters and any potential future characters. I would see that. That would make sense.
Yeah.
But this is, no, you get everything and then the shit you don't actually want.
Yeah, that's silly, but...
you get a copy of Killer Instinct, the original game, to play.
On your Super Nintendo?
No, I mean, you could get that for a lot cheaper, trust me.
that's really odd. Yeah, I mean, $20 for a fighter, that's all I'm hearing, really.
Right.
If you're not an idiot, then it's a $20 fighter, and that's not bad.
Oh, it's great. But yeah, six characters seems way weird.
That's super small. It's only six?
Yep.
Wow. I'm sure they're gonna.
And I think even worse, I think it's four characters at launch and two additional in time.
Oh no.
Yep.
And when you're done fighting, can you go on like a loot quest in Borderlands with those four characters?
No, the loot quest, you do go on a loot quest and you open up the treasure chest and it's just a picture of you crying.
It's just a picture of an ATM machine and you need to insert $40 to get your loot. Wow, only six characters? That's so weird.
Yeah. It's either, I mean, I'm fairly certain. I didn't write any notes down. It's been a while. It's either that or it's six and then eight, but I'm fairly certain it's four and two additional.
Yeah, I believe you.
I mean, right now, they've shown off four characters. They've shown Jago, Glacius, T-Hawk, and I think that may be it. I don't know if they showed any other ones. So you've got your secret third or fourth character in the chamber who's probably like TJ Combo, and then you've got your two additionals, which are going to be, you know, probably your other big staples in Killer Instinct, like, you know, Orchid and you know, maybe Fulgore or Spinal, one of those, like, you know, those people, the characters you associate with it. And you know, that would make sense, but you know, the game looks, oh no, there's the werewolf is already been announced for it.
Yeah, it looks fun. I mean, you know, I don't really play fighting games, save for Divekick, but it looks fun. It looks great too. It looks really nice.
Yeah, it is super gorgeous. So many particle effects,
all of them, just every particle. I was going to say it'd be really cool if they did
all
it
those
like
bosons up in that shit.
It'd be really cool if they did it like a like one of those Japanese what are the machines with
pachinko.
The balls that come out?
Pachinko?
Not pachinko. With the things that the Silvaria machine. Help me out here. Capsule machine.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Silvaria machine.
Where you, where your first character is just a random character. That'd be so cool. You can't choose. I think that'd be a really interesting approach.
I think that'd be really cool too. And that would definitely be smart for marketing, because it's like, did you not get the guy you wanted to play as? Well, hey, $5 more and you roll the dice.
Yeah, and like it's a fighter, so everyone's gonna wanna experiment. Everyone's gonna wanna buy more shit, but like it would really give, I feel like it would give the game some personality, and like it would encourage you, like, hey, this is the guy I got in the beginning. Like, maybe I'll learn to play as him or her, and like maybe I'll be, and it would really, it would make online, like, it, you wouldn't be just, like, the guy's name is Jago.
Yeah, it wouldn't just be fucking a billion mirror
like,
matches.
Yeah, Jago versus Jago mirror match, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be like 250 or 2,050 mirror matches. Whatever the pre-order numbers are up to.
Yeah, so that'd be really cool, but clearly that's not happening because they have characters that aren't ready yet.
Yeah, well, so. You never know. I mean, I think that's a super cool idea. I would love to see that implemented.
Yeah, that really would be awesome.
Yeah.
Give me a job, Microsoft. I'll fix your console.
Yeah, fuck you, Larry Herb Nelson.
Don't like that guy. You like him, right?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Then we're on the same page.
Yeah. Sorry, Major Nelson. Bring back Chris Cashman for life.
See, I'm not up on the Xbox execs.
Oh, no, he was Chris Cashman was the host for One versus 100.
Oh, now, were you a person of consequence in One versus 100 or not? I can't
recall.
Oh
yeah.
What did you do?
I was in the mob.
I don't even know what that means.
That's because you weren't in the mob.
Was it just Werewolf? Was that the game? Were you playing Werewolf?
What the fuck is Werewolf?
You don't know Werewolf? It's like Mafia. You know Mafia?
No.
It's a game where like everyone gets a role assigned to them at the beginning of the game.
No, this is definitely not it. No.
Okay. Or it was like a trivia game or something, right?
One versus 100 is basically like Weakest Link, but with one versus 100 people.
Is it like, I'm just going to start naming like pop culture references.
Okay,
is it like the one with Howie Mandel in the suitcase?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Deal or no
let's
deal.
Let's make a deal. Deal or no deal. Sorry. Let's make a deal.
It's exactly like Fear Factor. They put your avatar above a bunch of crocodiles and they're like, now, how is your pulse?
Only compatible with the vitality sensor.
That's right. In an imaginary kingdom somewhere.
In an attempt to take sales from the Wii, Microsoft released a game only compatible with the vitality sensor.
Yeah. Well, the camera, it just detects if your skin is getting redder because you're more nervous about your avatar.
Are they going to have Xbox porn? Can we talk about Xbox One porn and the Kinect recognizing you and responding to you?
Where it's like what? Like it sees your junk heating up and it's like, hey, maybe you should take a break and take care of that. Please, not in here. Oh, God.
It'll, like, listen in on your conversations and be like, oh, I heard you're into, you know, I don't know, tiny butts.
I would love it if the camera had, like, a shutter on it so it could be like, okay, do your shit, and it just, like, lowers down. And just
can, like, I don't want to watch.
And then it,
not
like,
again.
Peeks out at you. Like, it just starts to raise up a little bit. It's like, this reminds me of Milo.
Nice reference there, by the way. Oh, man.
Gonna go touch my sisters on this PS Vita game.
So Killer Instinct is a game. And then they also did the, jumping back to the document, they also announced indie self-publishing, which is great. I'm excited about that. So what did they say about it? Tell me what they said, because I got it after the fact.
I honestly, I forgot all this stuff, so I got to read my notes here. Okay, so if we recall, beforehand, it was like the rumor of like every device is going to be it's a dev kit. So like you just call in your authorization number, and they're like, great, here you go. Here now your PS or your Xbox One is a dev kit. That may not necessarily be the case, because that's kind of impossible.
The official word was like, not yet, if ever, right?
Right, yeah, essentially. They're like, yeah, no, I mean, we'll do that if we can, like we said we would. We never go back on our word. Come on.
Well, they didn't, to be fair, they said it was their vision.
Right.
It was like they went on a vision quest.
Right, it's like when they your vision is like every animal. Console in line in the future.
They saw their spirit animal.
Okay.
And then they saw every Xbox One being used as a dev kit.
And they're like, what was the spirit animal?
Like a Viva Pinata.
It's a fudge hog. I was going to say it's like a green bald eagle.
Just... No, it was Skittles the tiger. Their spirit connectable.
Oh my God. Or was it with bears? Now with bears.
I don't know if we're potentially increasing the audience by making these obscure references or just completely alienating them.
That's right. So the cliff notes here. So pause this episode and see the Xbox or the Microsoft press conference from 2010, where the young lady on stage was interacting with her fake Kinect animal, calling it Skittles, in the most adorably charming show of Kinect interactivity.
When you're finished, return to the podcast. You might want to grab a snack while you're away.
Press play at the sound of the beat.
Yes. So you say smart glass gamer score cloud connect. Do you want to talk about that?
Fuck, what did I write?
You wrote smart glass gamer score.
Oh yeah, okay. Cloud. So developers have access to the full suite of Xbox services, you know, and subservices, which I don't know. I don't know if they term that, but that's what I call it. So like everything, like, so devs can now interact with smart glass with, they can fucking do gamer tags, gamer score, cloud connect, everything. So like it will be blown wide open. It's not like it's a dev kit and you can only make, you know, top down shooters. No, it is everything. Like you get access to it all, and you get like a smart and robust tool set. Like everything is, they said all the nice good words to be like, hey indies, we want you here, please come play with us.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad they did that. It's funny because when I read Smart Glass Gamer Score Cloud Connect, I thought that was just like some like Microsoft marketing copy.
Oh no!
Just say these words.
Yeah, I just had a stroke while I was writing the document.
No, I'm glad you did, because I didn't even really. I mean, I read about these things, but I didn't really cover them very well.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy to hear that. I mean, do you think the boat has already kind of passed on that, or do you think that this is going to draw indies back in a big way?
I think it did at that moment. Like everybody's like, yeah, way to go, Microsoft, good job. Like the more games, the better. I like competition and I like everything on everything. That's great.
Yeah.
But I think then, you know, Sony like totally trampled it later and was like, this is how you do indie, bitch.
Devoted like a solid like half an hour to just indies. They were like, hey, look at all these indies.
Right.
What are you going to do about it?
Even to the point where, you know, the internet assholes were like, oh, Sony, all you care about now is indies.
Oh, no. Where will I play my graphics games?
Yeah. Right.
With the graphics.
What about the Calls of Duties? And where am I going to get those?
I want my games to have more numbers than the last ones.
That's right. I want to pay more for my games and have them be inferior experiences. What the fuck?
Yeah, so I definitely agree that their thunder was stolen a bit. I mean, I guess it's really going to come down to what sells is going to be where the indies go. Yeah.
I was getting really confused. I was looking at my notes here. But so do you believe in Crazy Buttocks on a Train?
I don't know. I kind of do, I guess. Why does he write in code? Is that so he can't be held liable?
Podcast listeners, take a break right now and consult your module. Okay, Crazy Buttocks on a Train is a user on the popular internet message board NeoGAF.
Full of educated individuals, trolls, haters, and some industry veterans.
That's right. NeoGAF, which is notorious for leaking secrets because of its utilization by developers who run in a semi-anonymous function.
Also, I just typed in neogafs.com trying to go to the website.
Get up those NeoGAFs.
Yeah, I think I do believe him. I mean, he's kind of just having a laugh, it seems. He doesn't really give... I mean, this is interesting information. I didn't know he had said that live streaming wouldn't be ready out of the gate. That's surprising.
Yep. I think it's fascinating. The thing that I love the most about Crazy Buttocks is just how he writes. Like, whoever this person is, no matter how German that guy is, there's no way that you can actually write. You can't write about truth facts like that.
I think he's just building his mythos. He's just like getting hype.
No, totally. Yeah. He's just being a dude on the internet, but it's fun.
Yeah. I wondered though, maybe he does that. So like maybe he can't, like it can't be construed as a violation of, what are those things called?
NDA.
Non-disclosure. Yeah. I'm wondering if that's why he does that.
I bet.
Misguided idea that if he does that, then he won't get in trouble. But yeah, no, I think it's hilarious. And so he said, I'm not really that. I don't really care about the SDK being a little unstable. Yeah. I mean, whatever.
I mean, but, I don't think we should touch on all the subjects, but I just think that the crazy Buttocks on a train is a fascinating saga if you want to go down the rumor rabbit hole.
Yes, and
especially after the conference, he came with like a rebuttal and was like, and then people have rebutted, like there's been info dump or text dumps or text bins like that are, you know, attacking him saying like, I'm an Xbox exec man and this is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been right about other shit though, so he still is in that gray area of possibly being a reliable source.
Right.
So he's a fun guy. I definitely agree there. Right. But yeah, I see people are still really interested in the idea of a Kinect-free Xbox.
Yes.
So I wonder. I mean, I wonder if they're gonna go. I feel like packing in FIFA was them saying no, we're not gonna do that. But
yeah,
maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they will do that. They've done so much.
I think that the Kinectless SKU is the future. Absolutely. Like,
you think so?
Oh yeah. Like there will be a time when that is sold sold separately.
I guess if voice commands aren't even going to be ready in three of the markets they're launching in, then I guess the Kinect must not be that integral.
Right.
Is what it really boils down to.
Right. I mean, it's going to be like the 3D on the 3DS. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what happens when you throw a gimmick in there. I mean, I guess it could have been pretty cool if they had really stuck to their guns, but...
For sure. I like that vision a lot better than the current one.
Yeah, the current one just feels very weak. I mean, I think they would have been better hanging on to the cards they have. It seems like in throwing out their bad cards, they're like throwing out their good ones with them.
Exactly. A baby with the bathwater, for sure.
Exactly, yeah. You're getting the more apropos expression there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's... You know, I wonder... What are they going to be like when they've gotten rid of all this shit? Like what are they going to be left with? I mean, a semi-powerful device that's kind of DVR-y, I guess.
Right.
I don't know.
It's like, I think as a new thing, it's like, hey, it's your TV too. But more than that, it's like, hey, your friends are still here. You can't leave me. You left your CDs in my truck.
Pretty much, yeah. It is starting to feel like a jilted lover.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, it's always possible they get some major coup. It's always possible Titanfall. I mean, let's face it. Titanfall will probably prevent the Xbox One from being a total failure.
Every time I watch a Titanfall video, I'm like, I need to just... If the Xbox was the same price as the PS4, I would cancel my pre-order and switch over to it.
You know it's going to get ported, though. Eventually.
I don't know.
I will see.
Maybe Titanfall 2.
Possibly. You remember when Sony was like, hey, we can do the cloud.
Yeah.
So they can do the cloud, so therefore Titanfall.
Yeah, Titanfall, brought to you by Gaikai.
Yeah. Yes, so they're going to do all right.
Yeah, they'll be. I mean, the other Gamescom still going on, still trucking. EA had a press conference there. I don't want to spend too much time because I literally know nothing about that except they announced The Sims 4 for 2014.
Did you watch it, the trailer for it or whatever?
No.
It looks so weird. It's like all about emotions now. They've moved so far away from the core of the game, and it's this hilarious... Like a hilarious in a horribly bad way. A little like vignette
like two guys competing for a girl's affection. You should definitely watch it and just be disgusted by the state of EA.
I think that Jen put it very simply where she was like, can I still lock people in a room and watch them pee themselves to death?
I was trying to explain this to someone the other day. I was like, Sims is great. You can kill people by taking the doors away from walls.
Yeah.
And they were like, what is wrong with you?
I think that's definitely like you had to be there sort of a thing.
Yeah. Well, the great thing about Sims 3 is that it's they're totally aware of that. So they have like they have these little references to it. Like you can donate to different like charities with your Sim.
Yeah.
And one of the charities is Pools Without Ladders because you can drown your Sim.
Oh, that is good.
Yeah, Jessica is like a big Sims fan, and I honestly, like in watching that trailer, I was like, what does this have to offer her? Like, is this what she wants out of her Sims? I don't know.
Probably not. I mean, I doubt it. But, you know, I don't know. I totally get it too, but I feel like The Sims at this point now is like, it's this thing you put in every game, kind of. Where you're like, yeah, you know, you can build your house or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it, unfortunately, unlike Animal Crossing, it hasn't really retained its timeless charm.
No.
It's just sort of decreased in what's the word? It just feels less and less authentic and like sincere each time.
The experience is cheapening as time goes on. It is not becoming a more robust experience. It is a shadow of its former self. If we can
Animal
just
Crossing,
continue
yeah.
to talk in stupid, whatever you call
just,
them.
Just to pull out another metaphor, if
yeah,
Animal Crossing
you.
Is a fine wine, then. Then, like, Sims is like a beer that you left out in the sun.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. Crack open that Animal Crossing 2014 or 2015, and man, now those tannins have matured and you can stack fish.
Exactly. Oh, man. Yeah, so that's happening. You said Command & Conquer. Is this a new Command & Conquer?
Yep, new Command & Conquer.
How's it look?
I don't know. I didn't fucking see anything.
Damn it, Griffin.
I didn't watch any of this.
I
didn't watch this. Command & Conquer's free on PC 2013. God only knows what any of that means. If you recall, I think a E3 of a year ago, not this year, but last year, when they threw up on screen like that Command & Conquer Generals like reboot, and it was just like an image of like a buggy exploding, and they're like, it's by BioWare now. When everything was BioWare, and then no word was heard from that, so this may be that. Who really knows?
Command & Conquer Dialogue Trees Edition.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Ric Flair is speaking to you, and what do you retort with? Is it woo woo or woo?
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And free is such a loaded word among these companies.
That's right.
You know what free really means.
You can only play as one buggy. You can only play as the Jago buggy.
Somehow or another, you can only control the StarCraft SCV.
You only can your APMs are limited to one per minute. Truly, the chess of video games, of modern video games, has been found here in Command & Conquer Free.
Okay, can I just tell you, I just thought of something which is probably like the best model you could ever come up with for a competitive multiplayer RTS. Link your resource generation to how much money you want to spend.
Okay.
So all you have to do, if you want to overwhelm the other enemy, you just have to keep clicking the button. It lets you spend more and more money to make your resources increase ever faster.
I'm assuming you're saying real money, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
So you're talking about Clash of Clans.
That's what it does?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, positive, yeah.
Does this game make like millions and millions of dollars?
Hell yeah. It's fucking like the greatest iPhone game ever created.
And it has battles, I assume.
Yep. You attack other people's villages, but like you start on your own little world and you're always there. And you're building your little castle area around your shit. And then, like, if you want to build your army up to go attack other people to show them that you're better than them, you can, like, select your build order, and it proceeds at a very slow rate, but you can buy gems that will, like, instantly complete unit or instantly complete building.
Okay. That's brilliant, yeah.
And I have a lot of friends who are like, I get drunk, and then I just spend $50 on Clash of Clans.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, though. It's like the most brilliant model. You just get them fighting in real time and then be like, hey, you want to win this battle? Spend money.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not real time, but essentially it's like if you do the base building of StarCraft or Warcraft or something, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, this barracks is going to take 30 seconds to complete. Do you want to complete it right now? You're like, it'll cost you $2. Okay.
See, I'm just envisioning like an RTS where you have like literally a button that you can push that just drains your bank account, but makes everything go way faster.
Yeah.
I think that would be perfect. And I think in real time, like it, that would be like Satan would be unleashed upon the world.
I would prefer it if it was like StarCraft 2 competitive, uh-huh. and you could so the fans who are watching the game could donate real currency to the players in the match, real money. So you're like, okay, so Korea A is playing Korea B, yeah. and everybody is really all about Korea B. So they like Hunger Games style send him 50 oh. bucks in cash, and then he chooses like, okay, now I'm gonna burn this to make a billion units and generate all this resource to make this hard push.
And then the mysterious wealthy entrepreneur supports the underdog.
Exactly. Yeah.
to and the then, tune of like $500.
Out of the rubble comes the yeah, exactly.
Dude, are we pitching an RTS right now?
I think we just made Salty Dog meets MLG.
It's so perfect. We would make just zillions.
Yeah.
We'd just be gazillionaires overnight. And then our company would immediately go out of business.
I feel like everybody wants to be a Zynga.
Yeah. So that's not going to be free.
No. I mean, whatever. Yeah. PopCap is doing that Call of Duty Plants vs. Zombies game.
I can't believe that was serious. When I saw the posters for that at E3, I was like, oh, it's just a PvZ2 ad.
Nothing is serious anymore, Jeff.
The 2DS has been announced.
That's right. Like I've always said, satire is dead because it writes itself in reality.
Once the 2DS was announced, mere anarchy was loosed upon the world.
Cats and dogs living together. Yeah, so, you know, Plants vs. Zombies, you can play as the zombies, no duh. And then Bejeweled 2, or not Bejeweled 2, Peggle 2.
Peggle 2, yes.
It's time for more Peggle.
Yeah. Did you like Peggle?
Loved it.
You love Peggle? I like Peggle okay. I don't think I played it on the best platform.
I liked Peggle when I was in college and like was like, well, today I'm not going to do anything at all.
Shoot balls.
That's right.
Keep shooting them balls.
I'm going to drink some beers and eat some peanut butter and shoot this crap all over the screen and I don't care.
That'd be another great game. Just be like, hey, you want to shoot another ball? 50 cents. Why not?
Yeah.
Another ball. Fuck. I want to make some money. Make some games, man.
I think those games are already out there on the iPad or on the iOS systems and Android marketplace. It's just like,
yeah, they make like a gazillion dollars.
Yeah, they
Why are we
do.
Not getting some of these hot dollars?
I don't know how to make those games. I can provide the balls. That's really all I got.
All we have to do is just steal all the assets from another game.
Okay.
Call ourselves, like, come up with some convincing sounding developer.
Okay,
name.
Okay. We'll be Buzzinga Studios. Right? Yeah. Hot. That's a buzzword right now on multiple levels.
And then just like jack up the prices on everything or attach dollar amounts to basic action.
Triangles instead of we'll use like dodecahedrons instead of balls. Spheres.
See, you're a genius.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of microtransactions, PvZ2 actually has them because Jessica has Plants vs. Zombies 2.
Yeah, I've been.
But they are not—they're not required to complete the game.
Absolutely
nice.
Not. No. But if you want to stay sane, then yeah, they kind of are required.
Oh, are they basically the kind we're speaking of? Like, hey, you want to not die?
No, not insidious like that, but much like more devious. But I got to take a break here and relieve some bodily functions. So.
Oh yeah, that's fine. Just go ahead.
I'm gonna hit a pause. Unless you wanna talk for like 5 minutes.
No, you go ahead and pause.
Okay. All right. BRB. Yeah. Listener. Go consult your module.
All right. We're back.
Much better.
How was the peeing?
Delicious.
Gotta drink up.
Oh yeah.
Gotta stay hydrated.
Yeah. Down the hatch. So when I was taking a break, I was thinking, hey, I've got two quick announcements to make.
Yes.
Okay, foot completely healed.
Nice.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really glad.
No doctor needed. The other thing that I was thinking about today, and I was engaging in this social experience, speaking of street passing and whatnot, I did real life street passing yesterday.
Okay.
My wife and I went to Zoo Brew here in where we live, and it's, you go to the zoo and it's adults only and they just sell beer.
Okay.
So it's pretty rad.
Like, okay.
If
that's
you,
fun.
If you like to do things. So we went
I hate
there.
Doing things.
No, you don't. You'll love this.
Go on.
So, you know, I have my the Cactar tattoo, and I was wearing a sleeveless shirt so people could see it.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm going to street pass in real life and see if any drunk people are like, hey, is that from the game? Mm-hmm. And I was totally surprised because I had two people who were like, whoa, is that from Final Fantasy?
Nice.
Yeah, which is like really rad.
Yeah, I have a couple video games. Oh, I have some fan gamer shirts, and I encounter the occasional person who's like, cool.
I've never had that. Like, I think we've talked about this before, but like,
yeah,
it's too, well, fan gamer is way too obscure for this demographic.
Well, Jamie lives in New York. Our friend Jamie, who podcasts with us, lives in New York City, and friggin' every street right. corner he goes to, he runs into like a video game enthusiast.
Right. I don't know. Yeah, they're like, Nintendo wallet.
Like, that's. I've been looking to add that to my collection.
Yeah. No, but I was super surprised by people who were like, oh, man, that's awesome. Is that a Final Fantasy tattoo? And I didn't want to be like, yeah. No, it's a bouncer tattoo. Duh.
You should have. You should have been like, let me test just how much you know.
It was just more like shocking that I was, you know, I didn't go into this situation being like, let's see how many people recognize. I was more just like, oh, shit, really?
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah.
However, that they could even place the Cactar.
My brother-in-law, he was like, what is that, a pickle?
It does really look like a pickle.
So I was like, well, yeah, I guess, yeah.
You touché, could say that.
Touche.
If you squint.
It does kind of look like a pickle to the uninitiated.
Yeah, you're just horrendously anti-pickle.
I hate them. Take them off my sandwich.
The taste.
Yep. Cucumbers, though, pro cucumber. Actually, it'd be like, yeah, actually, it's an anti-Digimon tattoo.
I don't follow.
There was a Digimon character that was like a giant cactus with boxing gloves.
Oh, for real?
Yep.
Oh, I never watched Digimon.
Oh, you were missing.
Digimon, digital monsters. That's all I know.
They are the champions. It's on Netflix. I tried watching an episode.
Oh, for real?
Yep.
I'm gonna watch it on Netflix.
Yeah,
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I'm looking up this cactus right now.
Okay.
Oh, he's so cute. He looks just like a cactor. Like,
yeah.
Identical.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Except, like, a big throbbing head.
And boxing gloves.
And boxing gloves.
How do they not? Okay. Yeah, why not?
Can't I copyright the cactus, fucker.
He doesn't want to hurt anyone.
Nope.
He just wants to punch him with soft gloves.
Yep.
Boxing gloves don't prevent concussions, though. You should tell him that.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah. John Philippe Baptiste, what is his name? You ever play Frog Fractions?
Yes, yeah. I did.
He changed the game. Yep.
That is a great little... it reminds me... It's very much like the typing game that I told you about, the Icarus Prod Godum teaches typing.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
similar
yeah.
approach.
Okay, we got to keep moving here. I'm sorry for derailing
let's
us because
oh, no, it's fine.
I have all... That reminds me of so much stuff, too.
Okay, let's move on then.
Tell
let's
me about think... Sony, Jeff.
Okay, so Sony. So they opened with the Vita. They cut the price. It's $200 now. You know, everyone's happy. It was
Yay.
A long time coming. They also reduced the memory cards in price, although it later turned out that the 32-gig card went from $100 to $80, which is still just bananas. I don't know what they're thinking. They announced a couple games. They announced Murasaki Baby.
Well, I think – sorry, just to step back quick there. I think that's
sure.
good that they have realized that they need to reduce the memory card price.
Oh, yeah, totally. I completely agree with you. I mean, I wish they'd done more, but, you know, every little bit does help.
For sure.
I don't really know if it's going to find a larger audience. I mean, I guess we'll have to see what the holiday season brings.
Right. I think it all depends on, at this point, if you're not sold on it, if you don't want to buy it, it all depends on how closely it ties into the PS4.
Yeah, that's sort of their big gambit, it seems. Well, that and indies, but I'll get to that in just a sec. So,
for sure.
Just to touch on the games they announced this, you know, title, I think it was developed by one of their internal studios, Murasaki Baby.
It's like some super French guy that has like never made a game before, I thought.
Oh, for real? Oh, okay.
Or Italian dude.
All right. I've never made a game before. I, that 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 makes me feel good.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Maybe a big budget. I don't remember. I was glancing at it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It looks, you know, it looks funky. It's a platformer or like an explorer former. Looks good. looks fun. They announced Borderlands 2, which is interesting because they were talking about, well, rather Randy Pitchford was tweeting about Borderlands 2 coming to PS Vita like a year ago, 2 years ago. He was like, "Hey, I want to bring it if I can."
Yeah.
And then they brought it, which is really weird. I don't know.
IGN has a fascinating coverage of this because essentially this happened because of Greg Miller. So
really?
Yeah.
What was his what did he do?
He was talking with Randy Pitch and he was like, "I want to bring Borderlands to the Vita." And he was like, "Here, let me give you the contact information for Shuhei Yoshida."
Okay.
And he did. And then at that same point, Shuhei was like, "Hey, you should talk to my man, Adam Boyes." And this was like 2 years ago, like you said. Like, he's like, "This is Adam Boyes. He's the one who's in charge of this stuff." So yeah. Greg Miller has like a picture of Adam and Randy Pitch like presenting them with a Vita or something like that.
Then
after all this happened, there was a picture of that picture with all of them standing together with Borderlands 2 on the Vita.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, super cool.
Yeah, I mean,
I love. Like, I love Randy Pitchford. Adam Boyes is a good dude. Like, super cool. So happy.
Yeah, I mean, I question how much of an impact it's going to make, but hey, I'm excited for like a big game, you know? Yeah. Like, that's pretty cool. I might not buy it, but I'm glad they got it.
Right.
They announced Fez, which is interesting. I thought that what's his name was completely out of development. Phil Fish
has just become this toxin.
I don't know. I'm guessing they just are fulfilling a contractual obligation. He probably agreed to it a couple months ago, and some company is porting it.
Sure.
So that's kind of cool. You know, Fez is coming to every platform. And then Big Fest, which was the weirdest. Did you see the trailer for this thing?
Yeah.
It's the weirdest. It's a music discovery app.
Yeah.
Or like a game, kind of, with real bands.
The Sims for music.
But it's actual bands, which is the weirdest thing. So it's like this music discovery platform for the Vita, which I found really interesting. I don't know what it's going to do. Probably not much. But
isn't it like it's like you're designing this venue and you're contracting? It's like Music Tycoon.
Kind of, but it's actual bands. That's the weird thing. You're actually like helping bands become famous. Well, you know, Vita famous.
Who knows how it's going to be, but if it's anything like, what was that? Did you ever use that service on Facebook that you could like go into the DJ rooms and friends could like be spinning music?
No, tell me more.
It was pretty cool. It was kind of short lived, like for about a year, and it only really existed because of like the Twitterverse, and that was like you would go into this essentially a chat room where somebody would be hosting it. And they would be like, "I am the DJ for this. I am setting up the queue." And then they can set up like, "I'm going to play these songs and people can vote on them." And then depending on the votes of the songs and like other people's potential, like I would prefer to be playing this right now. They could get boosted to take over like the DJ thing. So essentially it's just like everybody can create their own radio stations.
Interesting.
I
want
to say it was called Last FM, but I don't know.
Last FM is still a thing, dude.
What is that?
Or maybe it's dead. Let me check.
It
I don't know anything about the internet.
DJ
yeah, it's still there.
FM or something. DJ FM or something.
Yeah, maybe. Because Last FM's a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was interesting. And then they just announced like a huge slate of indie titles, which I touched upon later on in the document. So
tell
I'll get to
more.
Them later. Okay. Well, we got. I'll just run them down now. We've got Rogue Legacy. These are almost all of these are coming to the PS4 as well. So Griffin, I'm sure you're glad you're waited because. It is a great game. You should definitely buy it, but maybe you should get it on PS4 or on Vita or something.
Sounds great.
But yeah, that's a fantastic game. Glad they got that. Console debut, you know, I think that's still important. you're going to get a much bigger audience with that.
Yeah. Hey, listeners, if you're curious about Rogue Legacy, go listen to any of our episodes from the last, I don't know, 3 months.
Yeah, so that's a great game. Wasteland Kings by the Ridiculous Fishing Guy.
Yeah,
I'm pretty excited about that.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a cool dude, and it looks like he said it's a roguelike. So anyone who knows about roguelike likes is okay in my book.
Sure.
Are you familiar with the distinction between a roguelike and a roguelike?
Yes.
Okay. The roguelike actually follows the structure of the original ASCII game Rogue, more or less. Right. And then the roguelike incorporates some roguelike elements. Yeah. So that's going to be cool.
Yeah, it's basically like the loot 'em up.
Exactly. Procedural generation, permadeath, those elements tend to persist.
Ragdoll.
Well, Ragdoll is more like Spelunky. are you talking... okay, yeah.
I was just saying video game buzzwords.
Oh, okay, I see.
Synergy.
No. No synergy.
Twitterverse.
Yes, Twitterverse. Definitely Twitterverse.
So what else is coming out? Sorry.
Yeah. So Thomas was a lone guy making a game called Volume. I have no idea what the hell is happening in it. It looks cool. Okay. Stealth, apparently. Thomas was Alone was fun. So I'm excited about that. Hotline Miami 2.
Wrong number.
Which apparently, yes. Well, it's the right number, actually.
It's... Oh, shit! Bringing it back with the teat. Man.
Yeah. Hey, there was a thing on NeoGAF because apparently you have to like rape a girl in it, and people were pretty upset about that.
Yeah.
You read that?
No.
Okay. Well, anyway, so that's a game.
I saw it and I was like, nope.
Yeah, well, Hotline Miami was great, so yep. Hotline Miami 2 will probably also be great.
That's right.
And it's made by Cactus, and he makes some really freaking weird games.
He really dialed it in for this one.
Yeah, damn it. You should have said phoned it in.
But I don't know. Like, that's bad, right?
Yeah, I suppose it is. Huh, shit. Well, anyway, I was going to say, I was going to do something about like something you won't want to miss, but that doesn't quite work. I'll have to think about this. Mm. Anyway, so there's Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, which is by the same people who did Dear Esther. So if you want to walk around and have a narrator talk to you, that's your game.
Looks super cool.
It does look really cool. Dear
it's like
Esther,
Fallout without guns or anything.
Yes. Dear Esther, it didn't really grab me, but hopefully this with its cooler setting will excite me.
Yeah, it
but
does.
Cool.
From the trailer, too, it has this kind of like Lost the Television Show vibe of like, you know, key command prompts on an old DOS computer and then like booting up this like weird kind of matrixy world, possibly, maybe not, maybe like hatches and planes and statues full of coke.
It's funny because every time we mention Lost, my girlfriend is currently watching it, so I'm just thinking about the show because we're almost to the end. We're in the middle of season 6.
Oh, thank God.
It's almost over. There'll be no more mystery. There'll be millions more mysteries, but I won't have to watch any more questions being posed.
Thank God.
Anyway,
you can be miserable like the rest of us.
Yes. So then there was Rhyme, which for me was the standout. Did you remember Rhyme? Rhyme looked freaking awesome.
Yep.
It looked so beautiful. By Tequila Works, which I've never heard of before. But that game looked
They made that Xbox game, Xbox Live Arcade game that came out last year, I think. But being in Seattle and like being a serial killer secretly with zombies or something.
That sounds awesome.
No, it was shit.
Oh.
It was, I don't know, whatever.
That's not good. Anyway, a Deadlight, was it called?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's too bad. I hope Rhyme is good, because it looks gorgeous.
It's like if you combine Eco or Shadow, it's like Eco meets Journey.
Wind Waker. What did you say? Eco
Journey.
Meets what?
Journey. Journey.
Oh, Journey, yeah. With a dash of Wind Waker.
Right.
In there, for good
measure.
A splash of Wind Waker.
Cell shading with a floaty cape jump.
Exactly. Yeah, so that looks fucking awesome. I'm excited about that. Then there was Rezogun by the Super Stardust guys. That looked pretty cool.
Looks all right.
Kind of reminded me of... what's the game
Is
where
Is it Super Stardust HD?
No, not Super Stardust.
Damn it.
It's the same guys. It reminds me of... the game where you use the Guitar Hero controller, and it's a shooter. The reverse shooter game. I'll look it up.
Rez?
No.
I don't know then.
Here, I'm going to give you the answer.
Did it come out last year, and you were supposed to do drugs when you're doing it, and like you warp through like squid pipes? It was on PlayStation only.
Are you talking about the DY game, Dyad?
Yeah, Dyad.
It's not Dyad. It's something else. Retrograde.
Oh.
Yeah, Retrograde. Anyway, okay. Well, clearly you don't. You'll have to reference the footnotes for that one.
Okay.
Then they announced Binding of Isaac Rebirth, debuting on PS4, and I'm so fucking excited for that game. I have like 350 hours of Binding of Isaac on my Steam log. Love that game.
Never played it.
You should play it. It is definitely a roguelike.
Okay.
I roguelike like it.
How much do you roguelike like it?
I roguelike love it. Yeah, so that's a great game, and I'm really excited for that. I want that on my Vita so bad. Then they had Helldivers, which looks like Diablo. War Thunder, I don't remember anything about that at all. It was a World War II, you know, battle combat, sure. Plane combat thing. And then Minecraft as the icing on the cake, yeah, just to be like, we took you into Microsoft.
Look at these guys in these block hats.
That was when the camera work in the show became especially apparent.
Yeah,
well, that's when they were zooming in.
It was very Tim and Eric.
I just love when they kept zooming in and out of the exec's face.
Yep, yeah.
It was so bad.
Really uncomfortable.
Yeah, so all of those, or almost all of those, are coming to Vita. A few of them are PS4 exclusive, but yeah, so they're getting all the indies. And then the big thing was they showed Remote Play, and it looked really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And people are excited about that. We'll have to see. Yes, we'll have to see if it's actually really good.
Right.
I'm still skeptical, just
Me
because
too. Remote it's Play never worked before.
PSP was terrible.
Yep.
Yeah. I just put in here that Vita got more attention at this event than it got even at its launch.
That's right. There's no Wonder but, book to get in its way this time.
Yeah.
J.K. Rowling doesn't have a special message to not read you.
I'm still not sure if it's enough though to save the Vita. Honestly, I don't know if there's space for it in the market. But I hope it does well. I really do. We shall see.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that anybody who's been hesitant about a Vita is probably in the same boat I am now, where it's like, give me an excuse to buy it, please. Like, it is more desirable than it's ever been. You should be getting it right now. Like, cut me $20 off it. Like, sell it to me for $179, and I'll be like, fuck, fine, whatever.
pack a game in there and you'll grab it.
No, I don't want to pay more. Like it's like if you sell the device to me for less, then I'm fine because I already have the library built. Like everything looks good. I'm ready to commit to the system. It's just like, you know, I need to feel like with the way Steam has spoiled us and, you know, the way video games are going right now, it's like I need to feel like I'm saving some money on this.
Yeah. So
especially
you're going to wait for like
a
Black Friday hot deal or something.
Essentially.
Grab your $170 Vita.
Right, right. But, you know, even when, you know, time goes on and it's like, hey, if it's still $200 in a year, then I'll be like, all right, I'm ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping it finds its niche and it sticks around because I just love it as an indie device. I mean, like I double dipped on Spelunky because I'm a total tool and I've been playing it on Vita and it's just so much fun to play. Like, I don't know. I just really like having like a high quality portable PC indie port device.
That's great.
it's really nice. And I'm liking that niche and I'm hoping that sticks around.
Yeah. It's like, hey, give me a means to do this legally and I will embrace it.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's really cool. I'm hoping that they carve out some kind of respectable niche. I mean, I know they're probably not going to make another portable, but you know, I want this to stick around at least. Have a market presence, so we'll have to see.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, so what else happened at the PlayStation 4? I mean, the Sony event.
Okay. They showed the PS4. They showed all those indies on the PS4. All the ones that I listed. They showed trailers for already announced games. They showed something for Infamous, Ass Creed, and Watch Dogs. And then Yves Guillemot came up there and was like, hey, we're going to make a Watch Dogs movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey, how dare, Jeff, you forget that the PlayStation 3 is still out for $199.
Yes, that's right. The 12 gig SKU.
Right. And Gran Turismo 6 will be out on that device soon, as well as a Gran Turismo movie.
Did they actually say it's happening?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I don't understand.
Yep.
Can I just buy a 12 gig PS3 just for Beyond? Just install Beyond on the hard drive and then burn it?
Not. you're gonna start playing it, and it's a good endurance run. Like, you light the system on fire, and you also start playing Beyond Two Souls, and you see which one stops first.
Yeah, I mean, it's great that they hit the $200 price point on the PS3 finally. I think that'll help them, you know, get a few more sales towards the end here. Not really a great deal, but, you know, no worse than the arcade Xbox. Right. So,
I mean, plus it's, you know, a totally upgradable hard drive. So who
exactly
cares?
Yeah. So you it's your entry level. You know, it's nice. Since they couldn't stay at the $250 price point when they introduced their new model.
That's right. Somebody needs to compete against the 2DS.
Oh man. Yes. So they did that. Where am I here? Is that all this?
Twitch.
Oh yeah, Twitch is coming. That was another slap in the face to Microsoft, because that was Microsoft had Twitch, and Twitch is definitely the bigger service, and then they're like, hey, we're coming to PS4 as well.
It's not just Ustream, you can do Twitch as well.
Yep. And they definitely said you can live stream over Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So That's another bullet point that has been canceled out from Microsoft's stable. Right. So they've got to be frustrated over there right now.
I think there's still a lot of stuff up in the air about like how that live streaming service is going to work. Like, will it be like? There's so many questions. Like, will it be measured? Will it be gated? Will it be completely open? Will there be like a 30-minute lockout on it? Like, who knows what that's actually going to, you know, turn out to be.
Yeah, I'm hoping that they just wise the fuck up and like they restrict it as little as possible, because it's such a valuable asset for them. Like, they've paid for the service. It's going to help Twitch with ad revenue. It's going to help Sony with getting all their shit sold, and it's going to help Microsoft as well. Like, just having, like, you know, I don't know, your PewDiePies and your whatever else is like streaming shit live.
Yeah,
like it's gonna at launch. It's gonna be so great for them. They're going to sell so much. So, yeah, definitely. So that's great. They introduced their own version of the trade up to the new generation program, where different developers or different studios will allow you to essentially pay a little extra for a license for your PS3 game to play it on PS4.
Mm-hmm.
So this is sort of easing that transition to the new generation again. Again, it's not a service I'm going to use, but you know, some people will probably, you know, for I could see it being useful for like your Call of Duty, like, you
exactly.
know,
exactly, yeah.
Like, you get Call of Duty, you're 6 months into the cycle, and you're like, hey, you know, all my friends are getting the PS4 or the Xbox One, you know, I might as well upgrade now. Oh, it's only going to cost $10. Great, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So. Like, oh, I got my system next year, like in the beginning of the summer when the price drops or whatever, like at the end of the year, and you're like, I also got the new Duty game, but I still want to play my old Duty game on the new system, so I'll just pay him $10 and I can keep doing that still.
Just do double duty.
Yep. Damn. 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 He's on fire.
Yeah, so I got to say, this whole the trade up incentive program is kind of making me feel a little better about the cross generation. I already said this, but I'm feeling better about that, and I think it's interesting, so. So I'm glad they're doing that. I think it's wise to get people into the new hardware. So yeah, both Sony and Microsoft are on record having some kind of program there. I mentioned here that Andrew House shat on Microsoft.
Yeah, he dropped a bomb on that shit.
He did drop. They just keep dropping bombs at those conferences.
He pulled a Jack Trenton and just was like, "Yeah, free, like, plays like, the old shit."
Yeah. Unlike everyone else who constantly changes their tune. So, yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
They mentioned that they're over a million pre-orders, which seems high to me. I guess they're really going to ramp up in the coming days. I mean, I don't know. Is that like a really big number, or is that
I don't
standard?
Trust pre-order numbers. Like, I think it's all subjective, you know. There's Obviously,
yeah,
there's interest in both systems, but, you know.
Yeah. I don't know if a million is huge or not. I mean, it's definitely it's a nice number, but who knows? And then they announced a release date of November 15th.
Hello,
which is exciting! Yeah, very soon, right around console launch time.
Right before Black Friday, by about 2 weeks or so.
November is Eat Turkey and Launch Console Month.
That's right. Yeah. So now, I mean, that begs the question: when is Microsoft going to go?
I don't know. The original thinking or the original rumor was November 8th.
Yep.
I've read that online, but then people were backing away from that rumor because of some kind of issues.
Yeah, some crazy butts on trains.
Ah, yes. It was Crazy Buttocks who was saying, I mean, maybe not.
There's still that like Sony rumor of like, well, they're going to do that secret October launch to just totally undercut the market. But I also think that Sony has... They've done enough now to secure that slot. So it's like, even if the Xbox does launch a week before it, those numbers are not going to be significant enough. Like that 1 week of time of like, it's the new console. It's Christmas in November. Like,
that I agree.
People have already celebrated Christmas in November and their money is in the PlayStation market.
Well, as I said, Gamescom was sort of the final salvo for these people. Like, this was their last. To me, it seems like this is their last chance to be like, "Hey, here's what we have to offer you."
Right.
Now it's like, I mean, yeah, if Microsoft is like, "Okay, we're coming out in September," which is totally not happening, then maybe they could do something with that. But you know, there's not that much time left until launch. I mean, they've kind of made their case.
Yep.
You know. So this is, I think, this is pretty much where things are going to be when the consoles launch.
The only weird thing from this whole press conference was not announcing an Asian market release date.
Yeah, well, it's been very clear that they were targeting the West from the beginning. I mean, what did we see from Sony's Japanese studios? Do you remember?
Final Fantasy. No.
Well, certainly nothing from third parties, from Japanese third parties.
No, shit.
Yeah, I mean, and I didn't see anything from like Sony. What's their Tokyo or their Japan? It's not Tokyo. It's one of their Japan based development studios. I didn't see anything from them. So maybe they're going to do that during TGS because remember they have more of a presence over there. Maybe that's when they do all their Japanese shit. Right. And we all know that's not going to come out for like another 2 years because Japan.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't. There was definitely no Japanese stuff at all. It seemed to be very Western focused.
Totally. Yeah. Focus on indies. Focus on price and marketing and synergy and not like Final Fantasy.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, what are the Japanese going to buy? Like a Wii U?
Right.
Like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, maybe Nintendo will steal that market out from under Sony's nose. We'll have to see, but. I think Sony.
It's also if Sony wants to secure that Japanese market, all it has to be is just like, hey, we got Monster Hunter now.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, yeah, they can just say, hey, look, there's going to be a huge Monster Hunter, console sequel.
That's right. Fuck on PSO Online or PlayStation or Phantasy Star Online 2. We're Monster Hunter Online 8 or whatever the fuck it's up to, and then now it's Monster Hunter for Vita. Done.
Yeah.
Console wars over.
Yeah. So I think they're actually feeling pretty confident about their chances of cornering the Japanese console market. So they don't need to say anything really. I mean, what other options do you have? So that's pretty much all I had noted. The one thing I didn't mention was they announced a sequel to an Amiga game.
Oh yeah.
Shadow of the Beast. Did you play that game?
Nope.
I sure did not either.
Right.
That was really hilarious that they threw that in there.
Right. I watched the trailer and I read up on it and it definitely seems like, hey, this is God of War.
Yeah. With clones. God of War with clones.
Right. Hey, do you like God of War? Okay, good. We know it. Here's more God of War.
Yeah.
Instead of Greek mythology monsters that are still like scraping the bottom of the barrel, now we can just make up all this totally stupid shit that we could ever dream of.
I just was very surprised that they were like, hey, Amiga. Like, I do not expect the word Amiga to be uttered during conference.
I think the sequels were Genesis games.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're not thinking of Altered Beast, are you?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll look it up. Yeah, so that was weird. But that pretty much covers most of the stuff I got from Sony. Did you have anything else that struck you about their conference?
No.
Yeah. I mean, other than the shitty camera work, I think it was a very strong conference.
Oh, totally. It's like the best that Gamescom has ever seen.
Oh yeah, I mean, this is, you were saying, like, is Gamescom going to be a big deal now? Like, now that they've had all this shit go on there, like, or is this just because of the console launch?
I mean, yeah, it's, I mean, it's probably going to stay strong just for the time being, because, you know, it is like you've made this thing happen now, so you have to stay up with it. But, you know, in 3 years' time, will Gamescom still be a thing?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, European markets aren't even that big anyway, right, compared to U.S. markets. So.
Right. But I mean, you know, with Andrew House as a major part of Sony, you know, it does seem like they're embracing Europe more soundly than before. And you know, maybe Japan is going to slip into that, you know, B, C tier.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I mean, they've got TGS, but, you know, I mean, it'd be an interesting place, I guess, for Western developer. I mean, it's just another venue for Western developers to show their shit. I don't know. Sure. Yeah. We'll have to see. Yeah. So that was definitely, as you said, a very exciting Gamescom. Yep. A lot of shit went on there. And then after Gamescom, there were a couple little nuggets that came out. For one, that Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer is going to retire.
Yeah.
That's a big doozy.
Megaton, for sure. Yeah. That was really weird. Just kind of cropped up like right in the morning of a few days ago. Like, yep, Steve Ballmer retiring.
Yeah.
And Games for Windows Live just
both retiring. Out the
door. Yep.
Both taking about a year to get out of there.
Yeah. it was that and like Batman announcement for what's his name?
Oh God. Ben Affleck.
Yeah. So it's like, man, a day of all sorts of Twitter is just has a heyday today.
I want to know, since Games for Windows Live is going away, I want to know what's going to happen to my copy of Dark Souls for PC, which fucking uses Games for Windows Live because it's stupid.
Yeah, yeah. I do like that the, what is it, Age of Empires Online, they're like, you can keep playing this until February 29, or whatever it was. They're like, it was an announcement that was like, you know, phrased like, oh, anybody who's still been playing their Age of Empires Online can continue to play through the Games for Windows Live service, but it will be ending roughly around March of next year, so then you won't be able to. So, drink
go
up.
Fuck you. In conclusion, go fuck yourself. Yeah, I mean, it makes me nervous about what's going to happen when my other digital services expire and my games are rendered unplayable.
Right.
I don't want that.
Right.
What's going to happen to my Steam?
Here's a solution. Don't ever play online.
Play online?
Never play online.
As in Square Enix's hint service?
Never play. Ever.
Play online.
Don't play games ever.
Did you have the Final Fantasy IX Brady Games Play Online Enhanced Strategy Guide?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. I was the worst fucking strategy guide in the history of time.
Dial that shit up and learn where you get that bracelet.
The worst thing about it is there was this weird like thing in the very end alluding to like a secret foe or like a powerful foe. But it was just flat out wrong, and it was so utterly mysterious. Or maybe it was like something about like the mythos of like Gaia, the world, and like its connection to other games.
Uh-huh.
And it was like
Ilion.
It was like tantalizing me for the longest time, and I was like, "What is this?" And then by the time I finally got around to checking, play online had been discontinued.
No.
And then I shook my fist at the sky. No. Yeah.
Curse you, 90s internet.
Yeah, so do you think that Steve Ballmer leaving will do anything to Xbox at all?
I don't know. I mean, it's obvious that the tide is changing and restructuring. Like, it's impossible to pin it on one. Like, this is a drop in the bucket of the direction Microsoft is going. Like, who knows? Who can say? I think it's fascinating that he is going.
It's really interesting that he's taking a year to choose a successor. It's like a friggin' it's gonna be like a reality TV show.
Yeah, it's gonna with the black
take
smoke.
My job with Steve Ballmer.
Yeah,
not Steve Jobs. I don't know. It is interesting to see because they're a company that is at a crossroads.
For sure.
I would say it's a good way to describe them.
Right. So. I mean, and you know, from the gaming lens, you know, everything is a lot more simplified, I guess. I mean, I'm sure Steve Ballmer has done some good stuff with you know, Windows and whatnot. But you know, it's easy to villainize him as like
he's a crazy motherfucker. That's
right,
why.
Right. There are a lot of gifts, a lot of really good gifts that he's responsible for. That have man you, has energy.
Have you seen his developers video?
No, but I think I just experienced it.
By the end, then when he's saying developers, it sounds like he's choking the life out of a developer. He's like, developers, developers, developers. It's really good. Right. I will send it to you after this podcast.
Great.
But yeah.
That covers all the news for the last 2 weeks, so we're caught up, I guess.
Yes.
I mean, for everything up, I mean, what, Elder Scrolls Online.
Oh god.
Monthly
yeah.
subscription. So, so ensuring that nobody will play it ever.
Yep. I just thought the Humble Origin bundle was hilarious.
Yeah.
Made like $10 million. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, $10.5 million.
Wowzers.
Yep.
Yes.
I would buy those games for like $100 if you could play them without Origin. Is that an option? Can 0% of my money go to Origin and then I don't have to install it?
Yes. Yes, you can pirate it. You can Did Assassin's Creed it.
I'm building an HTPC downstairs to like play computer games on my big TV. Uh-huh. And I bought a processor that came with Far Cry Blood Dragon. And I was like, oh, sweet, I can get Blood Dragon. And I went to activate it, and it was like, download Blood Dragon from Uplay.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, no.
No!
And I'm refusing to get it. I have the code, but I won't activate it because I don't want to install Uplay on my computer.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean,
oh,
you're
man.
Fine. Yeah, don't do it. It is more worth your money to just buy it on like Xbox or another service.
I should just buy it for $5 yep. on a Steam sale.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Or just pay $10 and it's still you're like, okay, that's fine. Yeah. $10 worth not being involved with Uplay.
Yep. I wholly agree.
Jeff, we've been playing some games. I don't know, what are we at? 2 hours here.
Yes. We
doing?
Can touch on them. Yeah. I actually haven't really played that much. I was gonna dive into Gone Home, but my computer just refuses to run it.
Really?
I think because of my antivirus or something. I don't know. They are having some issues. I was hitting up the message board, and I have no idea what's going on. So really, I've been playing a lot of Spelunky. And
you tell
playing...
me that you're locked out.
Gone what's home. This?
You're locked out.
Oh, I get it. I can't get into my home.
Uh-uh. Did you check the fake rock to see if you left a spare key under there?
The other day, actually, Jessica and I, my girlfriend and I, locked ourselves out of the house.
Ooh.
And had to crawl through the back window. It was rather MGS. yeah, so I've been playing a lot of Spelunky, just
back
playing
window.
The hell out of the game, loving the daily challenges, killing shopkeepers. And I've been playing Dive Kick.
Yes.
And Dive Kick is awesome.
Dive and Kick.
Dive Kick is like the stupidest and best fighting game in
For
the
sure.
history of time.
Yeah.
I love it.
So essentially it was created as like a parody of video game design, fighting game
yes.
design
yes.
by a pro fighting game dude. It had garnered a cult following and then been picked up by a development studio that gave it like a full console experience. Now it's out, really cheap. Super fun. It just
yeah.
it boils down the fighting game meta game to like a very simplified version of it, where it's like, you know, one hit ends it all. You don't need to know combos. It's essentially just like the mind game and end match.
Exactly.
Nobody has any life left. The first person to make a mistake gets punished and loses, or it's luck of the draw. And then,
yeah.
you know, it's a very simple concept, super fun. Just a good dumb fighting game that's one of those things where you're like, it's so dumb it's brilliant, it's so brilliant
yeah.
it's dumb.
Yes. And it's, for me, it's such a boon because I cannot stand like the pixel perfect precision you have to have when you enter, or not pixel perfect but frame perfect precision, where you have to like enter all the inputs and like you're not using an arcade joystick
right.
and it wants you to make a Z motion on
right.
your analog stick and you're like blah. So it's just like, just hit L1 or R1
right.
that's it.
Right,
and I love it.
You don't need to know how to dash cancel into a focus attack, or
No.
You know, you don't need to know, like, like you said, frame perfect inputs, like that stuff, latency doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, but they've added like a tasteful number of additional moves. Like you've got a special that right. you can activate by hitting dive and kick
right.
at the same time. You've got like meter that you can build up to activate like mini specials.
Right.
And then you got like a kick factor that charges up if you max out your special bar. Yeah. So you've got a little bit of depth in there, and like you can kick to go backwards as opposed to jump diving in the air.
Yeah.
So you got enough depth in there to really, you know, it's just enough to just let the metagame come to the fore and be like the entire experience.
Absolutely. Like,
yeah.
Never. There are no characters or no moves that seem to move beyond that. That basic gameplay mentality of like you jump in the air and you kick at a dude and you hit them to win. But there are characters and moves that bend that line of like, okay, now you can kick twice in the air, or you can jump twice, or you can stun the opponent by sacrificing some of your, you know, abilities later in the game. Or
The funny thing though is that those characters, like the sort of gimmicky characters, end up actually kind of being worse than the other characters, like dive and kick. Are just like two of the best characters, and they're kind of boring almost. Yeah,
it's the Ken and Ryu of like, okay, these people make the most sense, but you know, hey, you can pick Blanka and like turn yourself into electricity, and then you really confuse the other person who's never played that before.
Yeah, but with the exception of like maybe like Baz, which is he's just fucking annoying. Like all the other guys don't really, like you said, Griffin, they don't really change the game from just jumping and kicking. Like, right. all of them at their core are just jump kickers with slightly different angles. And, yeah, so the core game remains the same no matter who's fighting, really. Yeah. Yep. And I love it. It's a great game. And I was going to say, it's actually on sale on Steam right now for $7.49.
Mm.
So you can get it on sale. And if you're in PS Plus, you can get it for $8.
Same prices, yep.
Yeah.
So. And it's also, since it's made as, like, a niche game for fighting nerds, it has the most deepest cuts for dumb internet jokes.
I get like 10% of them. Griffin gets like 40% of them.
If you played Guacamelee and you're like, oh, that's Grumpy Cat, like you'll be playing this game and you're like, fuck, I think this is hilarious, but I don't get it all.
Yeah, but it totally does not get in the way of the game at all.
No,
people were complaining about the end jokes in some of the reviews that I looked at, but it's like I don't. To me, it does not interfere at all.
Not one bit. Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing that I wish was present, just for like training purposes, was like a, at least on like a versus the CPU mode. Like, it's not available, at least not on the Vita version. Is it available on the PS3 version? Maybe I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so I wish you could just go against CPUs to just, like, learn your character's motions and stuff. Because, like, a lot of times you just have to learn about a character by just going into, like, a ranked or an unranked match with another human being.
Or you just play the campaign.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. The campaign takes a long time, though. I just want to go in there and just fuck around.
If I did have one complaint about Dive Kick, it's that it is not fast enough. Like, the matches do... Like, when you win a match, like, there's a lot of... like fighting game pomp and circumstance of like, next match, ready?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, here we go, fighting, go! And you're like,
yeah,
God,
I think part
damn
of,
it.
Part of that might have to do with bad optimization of code, because it seems like there's some load screens that are masked by some of the ending shit. So that might be part of it. But yeah, certainly they don't need to do death from above every time, or like, you know, it is a little slow around the edges, like you said.
I get the jokes, like, yeah, I totally get it, but... I would love it if I could just play faster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was going to say, I'm thinking maybe my complaint about not having a versus the CPU mode, maybe that was intentional just to like force you to get online.
I think so, yeah.
And just like make a complete fool out of yourself.
Yeah. The online matchmaking is pretty horrendous though too.
Yeah, it is. It's unfortunate.
But you know, which just could be because not enough people are playing it.
It could be. I mean, I think also you're just inherently limited when you force the entire game to be controlled with dive and kick. Like, you can't have like a robust matchmaking service with just two buttons. So it's very bare bones, and it is a little slow, as you said. So I'm hoping that will kind of work itself out over time. Yep. I kind of want to double dip on Steam and see if it works a little better there.
Maybe. Not for me, though. No.
Yeah, yeah. It is nice to play on controller.
Yep.
So, but yeah, it's a great game. You been playing anything, Griffin?
A few games. Just a few.
What you been playing?
I played MGS4 like I had promised. I was going to try and get through that and beat it, but I didn't because it's, you know, I was busy and it was slow.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Other stuff. Yeah. But I got some trophies and I did a little bit of that and I was like, oh my God, this game's great. More recently, Saints Row 4, I bought that day one, started playing it. Initially, I was pretty sour on it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh shit, I love Saints Row 3. And the first half hour to 40 minutes of that game is just like, hey, did you play Saints Row 3? Here's the same jokes and the same beats and everything. Like, oh, cue funny music and funny conversation. And, oh, this person is referencing this thing that happened before that was funny. And, hey, you can pick Nolan North as your voice actor, and he's Nolan North. But it sucks.
Interesting.
So I started playing and it was flat and I was like, damn, like this just really feels like it should be DLC for Saints Row 3. Then I ended up playing it for probably 4 to 5 more hours after.
Okay.
And I was like, oh shit, I'm in now. Because it becomes Crackdown. And I don't know if you have played Crackdown or if you...
I'm familiar with it.
You get
superpowers.
Yeah, you don't like really Assassin's Creed. You don't like Crackdown, probably. So, like...
I might like Crackdown. I didn't like Assassin's Creed because it kind of tries to present itself as, like, a game with challenges when they're just aren't really, like, challenges.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't die.
Well, this is kind of the same, but...
I'm okay with that, though, because this is an open world, you're invincible, be a crazy motherfucker game.
Yeah, and it definitely takes on Saints Row 3, where you're like, oh, man, aren't open world games dumb? And isn't everything that's like in open world games like really weird and contrived and like, yeah, hey, but we're gonna do it anyway and give you a good reason for doing it. Mm-hmm. In this game they're like, okay, you're gonna do all that stuff before, but you're in a simulation of that world, so now you can just jump a bazillion feet in the air and run faster than cars drive, so why does it fucking matter?
And see, for me, that sounds great because I have not played Saints Row 3, so I won't be spoiled from Saints Row 3 at all. So I shouldn't even come in cold.
No, I think that if you've never played Saints Row 3 and you play this, you'd be like, I don't get it. Like,
oh, okay.
This is weird. Like, you're like, Dad, this is just another GTA that's dumb.
Oh.
You won't know any of the characters. Like, nothing is meaning. Like, I just don't think... things will be... this is where it gets complicated, because like, I totally got it. Like, I played probably 4 more hours of it, and I was like, oh my God, I love the mobility, I like the missions, I like how everything is set up. Like, it is... but it's also super dumb, where it's like, everything is a Matrix joke, everything is a Mass Effect ripoff, and, like, but done very aware.
Okay, yeah.
But it's still really fun to play, which is like, I love Crackdown because I like running around the city and collecting orbs and like getting the ability to jump higher for doing this shit.
This is
the same thing. But what makes it so enjoyably addicting is like when you've done the previous Saints Row game stuff and you're like, oh, fuck, this mission, really? I got to do more of this. And you have this superpower and you're just like, I can just instantly win this because it's built into the game. It totally changes.
So you think that Saints Row 3 is required reading?
Yes.
Or playing, as it were. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, maybe not. I guess maybe it's not absolutely required, but I feel like, you know,
it'll enhance.
Absolutely. And Saints Row 3 is an absolutely amazing game. So you're shortchanging yourself if you never played it. But then going from 3 to going to 4, that's kind of also where I was like really hesitant at the beginning. Where I'm like, oh, it's the same beats. And then, you know, I was like, oh, okay, I'm finally in love with this gameplay style. I'm feeling it. And then just the other night I was playing it and I was laughing out loud while I was doing this one mission. Like, I was awesome. It was like, I was like, oh my God, this is the same kind of thing that they were doing in the last game, but this is more funny. So I really love that. And I was like, okay, you're going to put a text adventure in your game, but you're going to do it a billion times better than you did before.
Awesome.
So
yeah, I'll have, I mean, the thing is I have Saints Row the Third from some humble bundle.
Yeah.
So I should just play that and not buy Saints Row 4 until it's super cheap.
Yeah, no, you're fine. If the best thing to say about Saints Row 4 is it means you should go play Saints Row 3, like it is an impetus to go play Saints Row 3, then yes, that's
excellent. Okay, I will definitely give that a shot.
It is getting better every moment I put into it.
Awesome.
Yeah, I also played Splinter Cell Blacklist for about a half hour, and I was like, well, this game's really dark and I can't see anything, and that's why I hate stealth. So.
I thought you don't even really stealth in that game.
I mean, maybe not, but I'm also terrible at like stealth games that aren't Metal Gear, so...
Okay. How come Metal Gear is like the friggin'... They nailed it. What did they do right?
I don't know, because I don't think everybody agrees with that. I think, you know... Blacklist or Splinter Cell is definitely its own entity for sure.
Well, those people are wrong.
Well, yeah, I agree. They are wrong because I didn't have a great time playing it, and I don't. Yeah, but it's really weird in that it's like resetting the Splinter Cell world. Like it's a younger Splinter Cell man, but it still takes in like the old ass Splinter Cell man from the last game, and they reference events, but he's young now, and it's just really strange.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, I wasn't intending to buy it, but...
Not a ton. Yeah. then the Bureau, XCOM Declassified.
The Burrito.
Auto-corrected on my phone, the Burrito.
I thought that was intentional. That's great.
It's a way better game if it was the Burrito XCOM Declassified.
I can't believe you bought that. Was that, like, in the name of science? Like... Just to give it a shot, the old college try.
This episode brought to you by GameFly.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, no, I GameFly'd the Burrito, and I played about 3 hours of it. And again, it's a really bad Mass Effect game. Yeah.
The thing is, from what I played of XCOM, and it's worth noting they announced an expansion pack for Enemy Unknown. The actual gameplay part of it was really fun, but the world in which it existed was like super boring.
Yeah, this takes that and then also makes the gameplay match that.
Yeah, it was just a really ill-advised idea.
Right.
I mean, the funny thing, as we said before, this was originally the main project, right?
Yep.
And Enemy Unknown was a side project, but I'm glad it switched around because,
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no interest in that at all. So it was pretty terrible.
I mean, I wouldn't go as far as saying terrible. The only thing that just really pissed me off out the gate was it defaults the settings to be like, you play on muscle dude or like regular guy. You play on that setting, which is like essentially your hard. And then one level beneath it, it's like bitch face. And then two level beneath it, it's like mostly retarded. And then, you know, the top level is like XCOM executive. And, you know, so there's four difficulty modes, and they start you on the third, or like the one.
Gotcha.
Away from the top.
There's one above you and two below you.
Yeah. So I was like, well, I guess I should, you know, start here. And then all of my team died.
Wow.
So I'm like, it very much suffers from the Ni No Kuni syndrome of like managing multiple units in a game where that is poorly designed, where you're like, okay, I get in this encounter and I totally understand what I need to do. However, your system then would require me to never actually be playing the game, and I'm constantly doing this RTS of like setting, queuing up movements for everybody and never touching my own character because your AI is shit.
Yeah, it's like, if you want me to play this game, give me a mouse, a keyboard, and infinite time.
Right. Or give me a different game, because if you're going to make this as an action shooter, but I can't play it where I shoot dudes, I just constantly have to be controlling my teammates. Otherwise, they'll run into the line of fire. Like, that's not good game design.
Yeah.
So that's this thing I was battling. I dropped the difficulty down and I played it for a little while longer. I did more missions and it definitely opens up. It's a fun game. Like your squad mates level up, but they did the abilities like right at the beginning where they're like, okay, this is everything that your teammates can have. And then they're like, okay, they're gone now. Now you have to start with the rookies. And you're like, well, fuck that.
That sucks.
Yeah. Now instead of my dudes being able to call in an airstrike, all they can do is shoot. Really?
So it's sort of like the XCOM model of once you lose a unit, it's gone. You have to use your new scrubs, except even more annoying.
Even more annoying because they're like, this is part of the story. You have this opening intro sequence where everything is awesome and crazy. Yeah. And now you start on these more difficult missions with worse dudes.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
Right.
Yeah, that's a bummer. I was thinking about how it's weird how in like the movie industry, for example, you can make a movie that's okay and it'll do all right. Like it'll make back its money. But in the game industry, if your Metascore is below like 80, you're just going to fail.
Yeah.
You're just doomed. It's just so different. There's so much more pressure. Like, I guess we're spoiled for at least decent to good games. But it's just so odd how, like, a game like The Bureau, which I guess by your estimation was not a terrible game,
no.
is probably going to sell almost nothing.
Right. Yep.
It's just going to die.
It's a total shame.
It might even, you know, really hurt Firaxis, you know? Yeah. It's just a very strange thing.
Yeah, it is a bummer. But, you know... It is what developers and publishers have done to themselves. Like, if you create a market that requires blockbusters to be successful in even the slightest way, then there is something wrong with your model.
You're very correct. But I wonder what's going to happen to make that change. We'll
and speaking of that sort of mentality, hey, I got Lost Planet 3, but I haven't played it yet.
I was watching the review of it. It looks super weird.
Like, the best review I read was where they just replaced everything with Pocahontas. it is literally the story of John Smith and Pocahontas, or Avatar, if you will, but with ice pirates and giant mech monsters and shit.
It seemed really funny because I didn't expect the game to be like have so much menial shit in it. Like, you're just this guy. Who's like just like a in charge of like a construction group or something,
right?
And he's just like doing errands.
Well, that's what sounds super cool to me. Like,
I know that sounds awesome. I'm actually really on board with that.
When it first started, when the game was first announced, and you're like, okay, kind of Dead Spacey, like you're just a dude, you're not a superhero, and then it's kind of like John Carpenter's The Thing, like you're just a guy going to this abandoned planet. Like, okay, sounding better and better and better. And it's a sequel to Lost Planet, so you can kind of set up the ice world. Like, I'm digging it. And then they're like, nope, multiplayer, shooting bugs, everything's fine, ice pirates, Japanese things, and American corporations. Yeah, it's all there. And yeah, I don't know. Everything sucks now.
Yeah, it's just weird that it went so wrong. I really was enticed, I've got to say. I'm sure other people don't feel the same way. By a video I saw of, like, your wife just leaving you, like, a passive-aggressive voicemail.
Yeah.
I wish it was just that.
Right.
That's a bummer that it's bad. So you said you haven't opened it up yet.
Yeah, it's sitting in the case or it's sitting in the sleeve, and I'm like, well,
you got to do it.
I was gonna play it tonight, but I was like, I don't know. I can't take any more depression right now. So I'll get to it. I mean, because you know. I got about a month until anything important comes out. So I guess I missed the Killer is Dead time frame.
Yeah, I'm not gonna grab that. I don't want to throw 60 away. I mean, it's been getting poor reviews. Mm-hmm. And also the Gigolo mode is just a major turnoff for me. It's not even that like I'm particularly offended by it. I just have literally no patience for a boob staring game. Like I look at it and I'm like, I don't want to play that.
Sure.
It doesn't look fun, so I'm not going to buy it.
Right.
But yeah. What else is happening in the next couple weeks?
There's games coming out like Grand Theft Auto. Had a trailer.
Wonderful 101.
Yep, Wonderful 101. Oh yeah, did you play that demo?
I still haven't played that demo. Jessica's been hogging the TV for Lost every night. I know, it's very sad. I've lost all my demo time.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, that's coming out. GTA, there's leaks, right?
I don't know.
Them leaks.
I honestly don't really give a shit about GTA, so it's not a thing that I really, you know. Yeah,
I might as well read the leak since I'm not going to buy it.
Right. So. I'll have to play it this year, of course, just to kind of get a feel for it. But it's not. I mean,
yeah, I'm with you.
I feel this is a big year for like heavy, heavy games. Like, so it's like, okay, so you got BioShock in the bag for like, you know, mature setting and storytelling, and then you've got The Last of Us for mature-er storytelling and setting and game and good gameplay. And then it's like, okay, so you really think Grand Theft Auto is going to trump those two? Like,
no, I mean, I don't. It seems like it's kind of trying to aim there, which is weird.
Right.
But I just wish it would be silly again and stop with all this. I don't know. Like, it's still silly, but I don't want all this multiple character. I don't need narrative. Who put narrative in my GTA is what I'm trying to say here.
Narrative, yeah. I mean, I feel like at this point, I mean, I didn't like Grand Theft Auto 4 by any means. Like, I'm staunchly against it, actually. I don't know what 5 is going to do to you know, change my viewpoint, but I really think that Saints Row 3 and 4 as like a package is a better GTA than GTA has ever been.
I feel like, yeah, like Just Cause 2, Saints Row, they've all kind of satirized and improved upon the open world formula, pointed out how like ridiculous it is to impose any constraints, and like just like showed you how like the funnest thing to do is just break the world over and over again. And GTA is like moving against that. They're like, hey, you want to inhabit this world? Like, be a denizen of this world as opposed to breaking it? I'm like, no, I just want to fucking destroy it.
No, that's perfect. You said that perfectly. Like, it is exactly that. It's like, do you want to be a denizen? Do you want to be this, like...
Do you want to go on the internet?
This is this urchin character who you would never play as. It's like that... What are the games called? Like, Cart Life? Apathy games, or... What is it?
Cart Life. Yeah, Slice of Life.
Yeah.
What's the other one? Papers, Please is a great example.
Yeah, where it's like... You feel the pain of the character that you're playing by playing the game. And it's like, okay, so GTA is kind of adopting that with GTA 4 and, you know, moving that and all the spin-off stuff. But it's like, dude, is that what's going to... Are you going to push that envelope further with GTA 5?
Yeah. It's like, if you want to have a living... If you want to have a, like, living in your world game, fucking play, like, Shenmue or something. Like, that's the approach you want for that.
Fucking open drawers. For hours. It doesn't...
I don't think it really meshes with what you do when you're not living... Like, in your missions. Like, what you do in the mission doesn't really mesh with what you do when you're not in the mission very well.
Right. That's... Yeah. That's... I've... There is internet record of me calling that Grand Theft Auto syndrome of when, you know, what is being told in the story conflicts with the narrative.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you have a word for that too, right? Like ludonarrative dissonance.
Yeah, ludonarrative dissonance. They were throwing that around left and right after the BioShock Infinite.
Yeah, where it's like, you know, what is being told to you in the story is different from what you do in the gameplay. So like Grand Theft Auto, for example, dear listener, is... You know, in Grand Theft Auto 4, your character is constantly lamenting his lot in life and telling everybody about how he's reformed and given up his old ways and how now he is just trying to make it in a good, happy life in Empire City. However, when he leaves that cutscene, he is suddenly driving down the road as fast as possible, slamming into pedestrians and sleeping with hookers and shooting police helicopters with rocket launchers and slitting people's throats. But then going back to his cousin and saying, oh, brother, I missed you.
Well, at least this time, all of the people whom you control are like manic criminals. Like they all are shown in the trailers, like just murdering people.
Yes, but people made that same claim about, you know, that the previous game were like, maybe he's unhinged. You know, it's like that yes but sort of bullshit where it's like,
yeah,
you know, that, you know, tripping should be allowed in Super Smash Brothers.
You monster.
Yeah.
You fucking monster.
Right. It's the game you're not playing.
Who said that? That was somewhere that was recently said by a person.
What's that?
I don't recall. Okay. I'll have to look it up later.
Somebody said something somewhere. Speaking of which, let's call this a podcast.
Yeah. The podcast we're not doing.
Yeah, it's the podcasts you're not listening to.
If you are 99.99% of the population.
That's right.
All right, dude. Yeah, it's getting late. It's
for
been
sure.
Good.
Yeah. Go connect to the internet on your 2DS and download this.
That thing.
Download this on the Nintendo channel.
I'm gonna create an array of 2DSs and just. I'm gonna make like a 4D 2DS.
Damn, you're gonna make like
time with it.
A coffin. You're gonna be that guy who buys a billion copies of Splunker. You bury yourself in 2DSs.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
All right, dude.
Enjoy your cheese-shaped death, Jeff.
I will.
Until next week, this has been Boss Bro Radio.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Did you get it?
Yeah, it's just...
What happened?
It's not cutting.
No, really?
It won't stop. What the fuck?
We're trapped in this podcast forever. This is an existential quandary right here.
That's right. Now,
wait. I'm not in this. Or what is it? I'm not trapped in this podcast with you. You're trapped in this podcast with me.
Oh man, this waveform looks like a Rorschach test right now.